Oh, thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Thursday, and I'm Bill, and that's Wendy, and that's all you need to know. Oh, also this, if you want to talk to us, 312-981-7200.
You can also text us at that number. We do read your texts. Mm-hmm. Some we mention, some we don't. Some we roll our eyes at.
That's true. In no particular order.
Exactly.
Today, Wendy, is a very, very big day in the life of our friend Kevin, who's our producer, our trusted producer. Today, Kevin becomes a man.
It's a bar mitzvah?
No, it's not his bar mitzvah.
Close.
Kevin, who we've
known... Is he not a wood nymph anymore or whatever?
No,
it is
he's still
in that
a 50th
game?
Level wood nymph.
Well, higher than that, Bill. Don't cut me short, and it's a wood elf. Come on, guys.
Sorry,
you know better than this.
Despite everything you just heard in the last 12 seconds, Kevin turns the magical age of 30 today.
Today's your birthday?
Not just his birthday, but his 30th birthday.
Don't worry.
What'd you get him for us, Bill?
You are helping me take him out to lunch for his birthday.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought I put that on my calendar.
I'm the same way with you guys. I know. I feel like I have it somewhere.
But both sat in the room together and put each other's birthdays on our phone. Why didn't it come up?
I get Steve's. I get Steve's every year.
Steve's is coming up.
He sends a mass email so everybody could put it on their calendars.
That is so not true. You know that's not true.
You don't even like your birthday, do you?
I love my birthday. I just don't like to make a big deal of it.
I always like Steve's birthday because right. They always have that 1% discount at Steve Bertrand Travel for Steve's birthday. And right. I say to myself, that's a good time to take advantage.
Thank you, Bill, and I'm glad that you do. Yep. Wendy, here's the thing. I love my birthday, but I don't expect you to. And that's what I don't get.
I think other people should enjoy your birthday.
No.
I'm with Steve. I like a low-key birthday. Now,
that's because you're the god of mischief.
I am low-key the god of mischief. That said, the Kevin 30th birthday parade today is going to be insane. Get downtown early because there won't be any place to park.
Well, I actually decided to kind of coincide with it on Sunday.
Are you going to do it with the St. Patrick's
Day? Or is it Saturday? Which day is it? I don't even remember. We'll figure it out.
Saturday. Kevin, I don't want to go out to lunch with you guys because I walk too slowly, so I would just like to give you a dollar for every year you live. So here's $30.
How about that?
All right.
Wow, and I'd like to go in. I'll go in on that gift with Wendy. There's $30.
What a guy.
Not an additional 30.
No.
It's part of Wendy's 30.
Right.
Do you, now that you've achieved this, now that you're 30, be honest, is there any different feeling in you at all today?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Can I tell you something involving our friend Bill Leff? You were so apprehensive about turning 50, but then it came and went, and you're like, oh, well.
That's the number that when I was a kid, if somebody was 50 in
they
my
were
head,
old.
That's an old guy right there. As a 50-year-old guy is an old guy. So it made me nervous beforehand. It made me nervous during. And then once I did go over it, you go, all right, well, it happened. What can you do? And it is better. Many people pointed this out. It's better than not turning 50.
That is a great point.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I feel good about it. And I was telling him this morning, it's kind of funny. It's come full circle for me because one of my earliest memories as a child is my dad's 30th birthday.
Isn't that crazy?
That's funny, Kevin, because same with me. I remember my mom's 30th birthday.
Really?
No, you don't.
I do,
I
sure.
remember my mom's, too. What happened? Did something magical happen,
they
Steve,
had a,
on your mom?
They did. They had a parade.
They did a parade
some
for
of
her.
Some friends, you know, because it was so old, they made crepe paper and rode around the block.
Is that adorable? I don't remember my mom's 30th birthday at all.
You don't remember anything special happening on that day at all?
I don't think I was born when she was 30. I was, but I was...
You're probably too young to remember.
Yeah, I have no idea.
When my mom turned 30, she was very, much like I was with 50. She did not, that number scared her.
30 scared her.
Yeah. And to commemorate, my brother and I went out on the balcony of our house and shouted, "She's 30," for about 10 minutes. We just kept
little
yelling
brats.
It and yelling it.
Because you knew that bothered her.
Yeah.
God,
and then
you guys.
My dad did something interesting because she didn't like being 30 on her birthday cake that my dad bought for her. He put her weight instead of her age.
He did not.
He did.
He had a fun house.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Yeah, because he said, I knew you'd be upset to see that number 30, so he went with her weight instead of her age. That was controversial back then, Wendy.
Okay, A, that is so unbelievably funny. Two, I can't believe he was around to celebrate her 30th birthday with
right.
her.
That he lived to tell the tale.
Oh, yeah. My God, is that funny.
Yeah, she didn't think so.
Yeah, well, I know, of course not.
But she was not among them.
Good for him. Because I bet you he's going back and forth. Should I really do it? I really shouldn't do it. Let's go for it.
Right,
Oh, my God, that's hysterical.
Actually, I know my dad well enough to tell you I don't think he debated it at all. I just think he thought of it and went, well, what are you going to do?
Is that where you get your funny?
Maybe. I don't know.
That is I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, even at the bakery, they're like, sir, this could be offensive. Are you sure you want to? Oh, yeah, put it down. Put it.
I can't believe that's not done. Oh, yeah, I can. Believe it's not done more often.
That is right. So funny.
The divorce rate would go sky high.
You can tell that's just like such a light bulb above a guy's head. And if it doesn't go off, man, you're in trouble.
But, no, all right, tell me this. Remember when you were a kid, like every birthday, like you remember your 11th birthday and your 12th birthday and all that, but you don't remember those?
They were my birthday.
Do you remember, because did you guys do parties for them when you were a kid or not?
I think so. I don't know. All I know is I had chicken pox one year on my birthday. I had the measles another time on my birthday. I broke my collarbone on my other birthday.
You're holding the negative memories there.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
Got to celebrate the positive ones.
I got nothing positive.
Okay. You always had some kind of an illness?
Well, three out of my many over 50 years.
Yeah, but you don't remember the other 47.
No, I sure don't.
But that's the point I'm trying to make is, like, once you get older, you remember the milestone ones. Like, I have very clear memories of my 20th, 30th, 35th, 40th, 45th, and 50th. But then the other ones just kind of evaporate a little bit.
I don't remember any of them.
When I was a kid, I had a cousin, Diane, who went through a real cake baking phase for a few years.
Wow.
And she would do these decorative, like, you know, a fish cake, but they always were coated in coconut, colored coconut.
Mm.
Why? Is it easier to work with?
I don't know. It was just her
coconut.
It was her motif.
Oh.
And I hated coconut. But all the adults wanted to, you know, encourage her too. So every year for my birthday, I'd have this coconut cake.
Oh.
It was beautiful. I never ate my own birthday cake, Wendy.
That's sad.
Well, you and I have sad tales of woe regarding our birthday.
I think my mom made me a special one.
I hope so. I hope she did.
Spoiled.
A secondary cake. Yeah, well, I remember my happy birthdays, ma'am.
It's another day.
That's it.
And, you know, quite honestly, I didn't have school on my birthday through probably junior high. Definitely.
Because it's President's Day?
No, it was Abe Lincoln's birthday. Then they combined them.
Yeah.
But I used to have my birthday off all the time. I'd do fun things.
That's not bad.
I've been told.
Similarly, I had 2 years in a row a snow day on my birthday. The year after that, there was a bomb threat at my school.
Oh, that's fun.
Did you call that in for your birthday present?
And then the year after that, we were going to TGI Fridays. We were living it up. And there was a bomb threat at the mall.
Wow.
I don't want him around us today.
That's dangerous. Kevin, your birthdays are dangerous.
I don't think there was ever any actual bombs.
Someone tell security, our crack security out front, something could happen.
But you didn't call it in.
I did not call it in. I promise you that.
I picture them getting a bomb threat and then, sir, I can't understand you. There's people singing happy birthday in the background.
Happy birthday, Kevin. There's people singing happy birthday, Kevin.
Please ask them to quiet down. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We're celebrating our producer, Kevin Richter's birthday. And, now that I think about it, we should have pitched in 10 and we could have given him $30, but I just gave him
$30. Too late.
Somebody said Bill can't give $30 to Kevin because his wife won't give him that much money.
That's a day and a half of living for me.
She wouldn't make an exception for Kevin's birthday?
No, I've asked her in the past.
I don't want to rob him too. You know, he's got to eat his lobster rolls.
I'm taking Kevin out to lunch in one of his favorite. We've already made plans.
See, that's why I gave you the $30 because I wasn't invited.
Is it Arby's?
No, it's not Arby's.
Can I just tell you that my wife now around the house, she'll start laughing. What is it? She goes, I'm just thinking about Arby's. I'm not kidding you. Last night, every time she wants me to stop talking, she says Arby's.
We have to address that for people who don't know what we're talking about.
Well, whenever I go out to lunch and bring lunch back to our office, you always say,
what'd you get?
And I always say,
Arby's.
And the reason I do that is it's because I know that will hopefully end the conversation.
Doesn't that just sound so rude when he says that out loud?
Oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense.
But now it's become a thing at Steve's house, and I'm proud of that for some weird reason.
She'll just start laughing like, what? She goes, Arby's.
I think Arby's exists for that reason.
I like Arby's.
Everyone likes Arby's.
Alternate Arby's.
Right. That's it, exactly.
All right, Annette is on the line and wants to talk about a birthday cake that Steve Bertrand used to get every year. Hi, Annette.
Hi, how are you, Wendy?
Great, how are you?
I love you guys.
Oh, thank you,
Annette. When he started talking about the coconut cakes, it brought back a lot of memories. I think maybe in the 70s, Baker's Coconut came out with a coconut party cake book. and it had every kind of cake you could imagine. Dogs, cats, giraffes, elephants, and it would tell you, it was a regular cake. It would tell you how to cut it in the shape and how to decorate it with colored coconut.
That had to be what did it to me. That's what ruined my birthdays in the 70s, that book.
And think about it, Annette, if you're cutting it into different shapes and then you put like a vanilla frosting on it, the coconut would help hide the areas where you kind of spackled it together.
Yeah, I used to make them all the time for my kids. I still have the book.
That's got to be it, because that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, because I made them for my kids, and it was around that time.
But the difference is your kids enjoyed them, and Steve did not enjoy his and still got one every year.
Well, he could take the coconut off.
But then you have almost nothing. Yeah, it's down to nothing almost.
Yeah, true. But they're cute. I mean, there were elephants and giraffes and a house and a fish and everything you could imagine. You
know, I remember the fish. Was the fish blue?
Well, it could be.
You could dye the coconut.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. Mm-hmm. I remember, and that's bringing me back. I don't remember any of my birthdays, but I do remember every Easter because my Auntie Mary would always come by with a lamb cake, and it was frosted in the coconut. Yeah. Now that I remember
that.
Yep.
Right.
It made a great doorstop. Thank you, Annette.
Thanks, Annette.
Oh, thanks. I love you guys.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
I need to ask Kevin this. Kevin, now that you're 30, and I don't know if other people do this. I know I did this. Is there somebody that you track with who's the same age as you? Like, is there somebody in the world of music or acting or an author or something that you go, wow, she's 30, he's 30, they're way ahead of me?
Well, there's two that, well, there's one that I share a birthday with, and there's one that I share a death day with.
Oh.
I obviously, you know. But so Notorious B.I.G. died on my birthday, unfortunately.
Oh.
But Lil Bow Wow, his birthday is March 9th as well.
How about that?
It's just Bow Wow now. He dropped the Lil.
Yeah. He's regular sized Bow Wow now.
do you have anyone with their given name to give follow?
He was born that way, Steve.
Right. It says it on his birth certificate, Lil Bow Wow.
We will now call you Notorious K.E.V.
Yeah, like is that cool?
I'm okay with that.
My guy was Sean Dunstan. Sean Dunstan is the exact same age as me. He wasn't born on my birthday, but we're the same age. And like when I was younger, Sean Dunstan was the shortstop for the Cubs. And you go, wow, I'm home playing video games and reading comic books, and he's being the shortstop for the Cubs and making great money. He's got his own O-meter. I never had an O-meter.
Which was invented. The Sean-O-meter was invented by David Sela, who I went to kindergarten with.
Oh, how about that?
And someone who has my exact same birthday, the exact same age as me, and she probably will not like me putting this out on the radio, Allison Rosati, exactly same birth date, year, everything.
You guys were born on the same day, you and Allison Rosati. How about that?
I just Googled it, too, to be sure. Bow Wow is exactly 30 today. So happy birthday, Bow Wow, if you're listening.
I'm taking him out to lunch tomorrow, and you have to give him $30, Wendy. Steve, you have to glom on to part of that.
I'll give him some of that.
All right, that's fair. So, again, if you're just joining us, a very happy birthday to Kevin, our producer, and Lil Bow Wow, just Bow Wow now, also celebrating his 30th birthday. We'll take a quick break. We've got news and then a whole lot more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, look who's sitting right there. Our excitable boy, David Hochberg, Vice President of Mortgage Lending over at Pearl Mortgage, Inc. WGNDavid.com is his website, and he comes and he tells us things we need to know to help make our life a little bit easier when it comes to mortgages and refinancing. How are you, David?
You're the only guy I let call me boy, because it's typically, it doesn't end too well when somebody calls me boy. Right. But yeah, that's...
And here it starts. Yeah, here it escalates.
Yeah, so Wendy's all right. Friction. I don't let many men call
some
me boy.
Friction.
But I like you. So it's all good.
Thank you.
At least now.
I love you.
I'm sure you do. That's another line that you just crossed. So
I love you, and you
know
that, because you've helped us refinance a bunch of times and get a HELOC and all these things. And what I like about you, David, and I will admit this, you're maybe you scare some people sometimes because of your excitable tendencies, but you have every answer, and you tell it like it is. If you can't help someone right away, you will tell them what to do. Maybe they need to boost their credit. Mm-hmm. If you listen to David Hochberg, you will be able to live a happy life. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's my new slogan then.
Are you going to use that?
According to Wendy Snyder,
yep.
If you listen to me, you will live a happy life.
What brings you in today?
A lot of things. Interest rates have gone up this week. We talked to a couple of people that were thinking about buying. We're hoping for some reason that rates would slip down, and they were actually up a quarter of a point from where we quoted them last Thursday, Friday, even though I encouraged them strongly to lock in because the bond market's been doing a lot of goofy things. And what happens earlier this week, the jobs numbers come out.
They're tremendous.
Tremendously, fantastically wonderful. So what does that do? That jacks the interest rates up, like, pretty much instantaneously. And there goes that guy's 3.5 that we quoted him, and now he's at, like, 3.625, 3.75.
I'm going to ask you a question that I think should be obvious, but it isn't to me. And maybe if it isn't to me, it isn't to other people. Why the cause and effect there? Why just because the job rate goes up so well does somebody say, well, that means we must raise interest rates?
Well, the economy is getting better. Okay, more people are working, more people are making money, more people, salaries are going up, and it's basically inflation will start happening, and they're going to raise interest rates to tamper down inflation because more people are back working on the job. I mean, that's about as simple as I could get it without going too deep into the weeds. And, you know, as more people work and more people spend money, the supply and demand, more people then are buying more widgets. So you need to make more widgets. So you need to hire more people to make more widgets. And those people that are making the widgets are now have more money in their pocket to go out and buy more widgets. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
Does Janet Yellen decide this herself, or is there a committee that gets together?
No, there's a huge committee. And that's a great question because a lot of people don't understand it. There's a huge committee with governors from different sectors. I think they call them governors from different sectors of the United States that talk about what's happening within their market, the jobs, housing, manufacturing, employment. And let's face it, it's getting a lot better, okay? And as more people go back to work, why do you drop interest rates? To spur economic development, right? Because if you're lending money inexpensively and you're putting it on the street, then companies could borrow it inexpensively and start building factories, refinancing debt, restructuring things, which makes them more profitable. Makes them more profitable. They could take that money to put it back into research and development, which means you have to hire people. They could build new plants. They could upgrade plants, which means what? You need new equipment. Well, who's got to bring that equipment in? People have to make the equipment. People have to drive trucks and lift equipment off trucks to get it in. It's got to move by rail. It's just a whole thing. So keeping the rates down for so long has been a wonderfully effective way to stimulate the economy.
Sure.
Hence with the job numbers that were overwhelmingly fantastic.
Yeah.
And now she's talking, and some experts are talking. Janet Yellen, the Fed chairperson, is talking about increasing it in when they meet again. It could be a quarter
half
of a point.
Point.
It could be a half a point.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I heard that the Fed was going to raise rates for 10 years and it never happened. So I'll wait to see what the chairwoman says. And then as soon as she closes her mouth with what she said, then I'll be like, oh, she did nothing. Oh, she did it a quarter. Oh, she did it a half. I don't predict that. I just go what she did. But basically what happened this Monday, interest rates shot up a quarter of a point from when they closed on Friday.
Right.
So my recommendation is don't screw around with interest rates. If you think you have a good interest rate, you're buying a home, lock in a rate with a reputable lender. It's that simple. And adjustable rate mortgages right now are more popular than ever in a long time.
Why is that?
Because the interest rates on adjustable rate mortgages are a half to three quarters of a point less than the fixed rate loans.
So but don't you get socked later?
You don't get socked. Come on. You're socked. God, socked. You know, you don't get socked.
Don't say socked next
time,
Wendy. No,
it's like,
that's
no.
That's a safe word.
Yeah, that's, no.
You, that's a danger word.
It's socked. It's a great tool. Tries great. You know, nobody gets socked.
But nobody knows this stuff, so I'm the average person.
That's what I'm telling you. Here.
Calm down.
Here, adjustable rate mortgages are terrible. They're very, very risky. What? Stop. Okay? Here's the deal. It's an adjustable rate mortgage is fixed for 3, 5, 7, or 10 years.
So if you're moving, that might be a good idea.
I'll give you a perfect example. My sister-in-law got divorced. Deerfield. Okay? 3 years ago when she got divorced, my youngest nephew was a freshman in Deerfield High School.
Yeah.
We knew that as soon as he graduated, the for sale sign was put on the front lawn. Guess what went on the front lawn on Monday? A for sale sign.
Yeah.
Why? Because Noah is graduating, hopefully graduates in May or June.
You're on the radio.
I know I am. He's a very smart kid. He's a nice kid. He's going to graduate in May. Okay, and she's already out looking at homes because she's not living in that house anymore.
Okay, yeah.
So
I get it.
I put her into an adjustable rate. It's my old family, right? It's not. It's my sister-in-law. She's my family, not my sister, but I still love her just the same, you know? Yeah. I put her into an adjustable rate mortgage, right? Through 5 years, because she was going to be out within 5 years, kept the rate the same, saved her about $400 when we refinanced her years ago. And guess what? She's in year three of the reverse mortgage, of the ARM. So sometime, if she lives in Deerfield, beautiful home, it's going to go in about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time June comes around, she'll have the house sold. She'll have a year and a half left on the adjustable rate mortgage. There's no risk if used effectively.
Right.
It's a mortgage is just like a drug, right? It's no different. When prescribed effectively, it will put into your life, your financial world.
Yeah.
It will be good for, it'll be good medicine for you.
Yeah.
Right? Morphine's a great drug. Right? I was on morphine when I ruptured my L4, L5. I was flying. It was awesome.
Discs in his back.
Discs in my back, right? I couldn't feel a thing. But you know what? If I kept pressing the button, I'd have no teeth. I'd be living under a viaduct.
Right.
And I wouldn't be in WGN right now.
So as prescribed.
As prescribed.
When used, that's a great analogy, though.
Like, I'm loaded with them. So when used effectively, an adjustable rate mortgage is perfect for the right situation, for the right person at the right given time.
David, 3, 4, 5 texters want to know if you have used morphine today.
Not yet.
The answer is no.
Not yet. I'm going to start driving to meet a guy to, you know, after the show.
That's up to you.
Right.
That's fine.
When, yeah. No,
somebody wants to know, are adjustable rate mortgages good for school loans? No. A home equity line of credit would be better, wouldn't
home
it?
Home equity. Well, it depends.
Again, prescribed.
As prescribed. If you plan on living in the home for a short period of time, and you've got $150,000 to $200,000 worth of student loans that you signed for little Sally or little Johnny, okay, and it's costing you $3,000 a month, because that's what $200,000 worth of student loans will cost you, you could roll that into it's a lot of money. You could roll that into a 5-year ARM, and you could take that $3,000 payment down to about a $900 payment, because you know you're going to be selling the house within the next 3 years.
Look at that.
Okay.
I don't remember, David, when my wife and I purchased our house, I don't remember our banker asking us that question. Do you intend on staying here for 5 years or 10 years?
Because you had a terrible person that did your loan. Right. I mean, that's, your banker, right? You know, here, come in at 9, leave at 5. Here's your cheese sandwich. Take your 45-minute break. Okay, you're licensed in all 50 states because you work for a big federally chartered bank. I got to take license and state tests all over the United States.
Yes.
You know, because I'm Darth Vader of the mortgage industry here. I'm a mortgage broker. I don't work for a big chartered bank that I've got an umbrella. So I've been spinning pretzels at the mall yesterday, but I'm working at a bank now and I could do loans in 50 states and I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
okay, not that spinning pretzels is a bad thing.
No, it's
they're delicious.
Right.
Okay? But the point I'm trying to make is that your banker gets a sheet that is dropped in front of them every day. And they're like, okay, little Johnny, your 30-year fix is at 4.25 and this is what you could go on. This is all you could quote. So if anybody calls in, we don't care if you get their business or not. This is what you're quoting.
So it's an important question, one that needs to be asked, because that's where you're saving your money, is knowing how
long
you're staying. Okay.
You go into a doctor, right?
Yes.
And you're like, doctor, I've got some head pains, which you happens a lot, I'm sure, because you've got voices going on.
Just yours.
Just mine.
Yes.
Okay, a lot of conversations going on.
Yes.
Hi, Bill, how you doing?
Yes.
So, you know, your doctor's not just going to say, okay, great, you know, put these glasses on, everything. He or she's going to ask you 15, 20 different questions to try to hone in on what's causing, could possibly cause.
Right.
Going on in your head, which you would probably need be 50 questions, because it's a whole bank of another thing going on.
Yes.
But, you know, it's not just one size fits all.
That's absolutely it right there. Hold that point. It's not one size fits all.
Everyone's
and that's
different.
Where you need an expert, and that's where David Hochberg comes in, because you do throw out options. And someone like me, I just hear numbers, and you know, I freak out.
Right. Oh, you freak out about 6 times during every refinance, and I got to call Jimmy. I'm like, would you please talk her off the freaking ledge already? I mean, you know, we're almost done, and I get an email from Wendy. I'm thinking that we shouldn't do this. I'm like, what? So, but it all worked out.
It does, but
it does work out.
It's scary.
You need to know who to ask, you're the guy. That's what I'm saying. How do they reach you?
I agree. 312-751-1333, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, WGNDavid.com.
We will take a break. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. Quick hint, don't use the word socked.
Right.
If you have any questions.
Or boy,
please. More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We've got David Hochberg in the studio, VP of Mortgage Lending at Pearl Mortgage, P-E-R-L Mortgage. You can reach David at WGNDavid.com. And somebody sent a text in here that I think you should hear, David.
Yeah.
I never knew Lewis Black sold mortgages.
Yeah, yeah. I channel my Lewis Black every time I come here.
He has told you to calm down on
several occasions. Told me to calm down. Him, Lou Manfredini.
Yep.
Everybody.
That's all right.
Yeah.
All right. What credit score do you recommend for getting a loan for a house?
You could get into a home with as little as a 580 credit score, but you would need 10% down. That's with an FHA. You could get into a VA loan if you're a veteran. And have VA entitlement eligibility for with a 600 credit score. Generally, you would want as high of a credit score as you could get. It starts with a 7. You're going to get the best rates, but you could get in to an FHA loan with pretty decent rates with a 620 credit score. So I always recommend that people take a, instead of putting a larger down payment down and buying a home with a ton of debt, is to put less of a down payment down and pay off of your debt. Okay, pay off your debt.
So the mortgage is a little bigger.
The mortgage is a little bigger by paying off your debt. Your credit scores get higher. You qualify for a lower rate. You're basically amortizing that $20,000-$40,000 worth of credit card debt that's costing you $800 to $1,600 a month. That extra $20,000-$30,000 in a mortgage is only like $250-$300 a month. So when you look at what the monthly payment is, everybody's like, oh, I got 20% down. Yeah, but you got $30,000 with the credit card debt here. So when you run the numbers, It's 9.9 times out of 10, it's always better to pay off your debt, go with a lower down payment, because there's multiple low down payment options right now. There's 1% down options. VA is zero down. You've got 3% down Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. You got 3.5% FHA. There's a whole bunch of different options out there that you're much better, instead of putting a larger down payment down, buying it with credit card debt and having that hang over you, put less down. Take out your credit card debt and your monthly payment will be lower. It's all about the monthly payment. I don't care about the rate. It's about the monthly payment.
True.
I've been saying that since I got into this business in 2000. It's not about the rate. It's about the monthly payment.
All right. Somebody has texted, Wendy actually used this guy for a loan. You are so full of you know what.
I have used you five times. We just closed a couple of months ago.
Yes.
So I'd like to know you're full of what stands for. You could send me an email at WGNDavid and let me know what you think she's full of, so, because it's actually happened. And we actually met at another radio station.
And
we did
ago.
Your loan there 12 years ago. And I've been doing yours and Jimmy Mike's loans.
You're the only guy I've used to because of you.
Why would you lie about that?
I don't know. That's why I wanted to read that. Someone else, and I'm not going to name the company, but I made the mistake of calling someone else for a refinance. Excuse me. They told me my closing cost would be almost $6,000. I hung up on him.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a closing cost challenge right now to anybody that out there that advertises on this radio station. I know for a fact that we're over $1,000 less than anybody than a couple of the advertisers that advertise on the station. So if anybody wants to challenge me, okay, our closing costs are one of the least in the business, and we're over $1,000 less on purchase and refinance transaction than other advertisers that advertise. And if I can't beat somebody's closing costs that advertises on this station, I'll make a donation to any charity that you want. I've got ads running right now, Cal's Angels, Illinois Firefighters, Associated Firefighters of Illinois, Gilda's Club. I've got five or six, I think, Illinois Police Chiefs Association. You know, I'll send it to whatever charity you want if I can't meet any of the other advertisers on the station's closing costs. That's how confident I am that our closing costs are lower. And if somebody says it doesn't matter because we're picking up all your closing costs, if your closing costs are $1,000 higher than mine, you have to put the borrower into a higher interest rate to cover those closing costs. So don't get sold on that line of crap either.
You did this last year with skin cream. You said, Genucel is good, but I've got a skin cream that I can match.
Yes.
I remember that.
It didn't match.
It did not match. No. Well, that was last year.
Still a work in progress.
All right. I think we have time for one question. Gene has called in. Gene, David Hochberg.
Hi, David. This is Gene.
Hi, Gene.
Sometime back, quite a while, you gave a number for student loans at a lower rate of interest. Is there any way I can get that number or who to contact?
Yeah, it's very simple. The company, there's a private company called SoFi.com, S-O-F-I. Okay, it's private money out of San Francisco. And they refinance student loans just like mortgages. You know, it's credit-based and income-based and everything like that. So SoFi.com is a great source to go to see if you could lower your student loans.
On
the private. That's private and federal. If they're federal, go to the servicer that has the loan, okay, and ask them if you qualify for any type of consolidation or reduction programs that they have. Okay.
Can you run that by me one more time, that last part?
Yeah, it's very simple.
I go to SoFi.com. Okay.
That's one option. The other option, if they're federal loans, because there are federal programs out there to lower interest rates and lower payments, you could call up in the servicer. There's an 800 number on the student loan statement. Call them up. Give them your FAFSA number. Okay, you need to have a FAFSA number, Federal Aid Student something. I forgot what FAFSA stands for right now. It slips my mind. But just ask them, are there any consolidation programs that you or whoever you're calling for qualifies? Okay, and all they could say is no, you can't fall off the floor. So ask the question, and if they do, check out their offer, and then check out SoFi's offer and see which one's better for you and your family.
Golly, thank you so much for this information. I really appreciate it, and WGN.
Oh, thanks for listening. Yeah,
the free application for federal student aid is FAFSA.
Free application for federal student aid. FAFSA. And if everybody has it. If you have a federal student loan, you need the FAFSA number.
October 1st is the day to fill that out now. They switched it, and I just want you to know I filled it out at 8 a.m. on October 1st. It's the only time I've been on time for something.
Congrats.
Still didn't get anything.
That's good.
Now, is SoFi.com something where you can go to originate a student loan or just to refinance?
Just to refinance a student loan.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an amazing organization that started about 3, 4, 5, you know, some years ago. Private equity money out of San Francisco. They're like, we have a problem here. You have all these people paying a ridiculous amount of money in student loan debt, 7, 8, 9, 10%. We'll loan it to them at 4 or 5%. You know, they've got money sitting on the sidelines or nothing. And they just pooled billions of dollars and they started qualifying people. And now I walked through a couple airports to see ads in airports for them. And they're all over the place now. It's a huge, huge organization and they're doing wonderful things to help people save a ton of money on their student loans.
That's the information you get and that doesn't benefit you. You're just helping people and that's what you do.
No, and that person that texted in that says that we've never worked together. If you have student loans there, you could also call that company. It's actually a real company.
He's being nice to people.
Yeah, how about that?
He's David Hochberg. He's VP of Mortgage Lending at Pearl Mortgage, Inc., and you can reach him at WGNDavid.com. The phone number to call?
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333. Everybody gets a free consultation, and if we don't beat the competitors that advertise in this station's closing costs, I'll make a donation to one of my favorite charities or a charity of your choice.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
We'll
take a quick break. News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's WGN. It's Kevin, our producer's 30th birthday, so would it kill you to drop him a card, something, just to let him
know?
Money? Throw some cash in there?
I'm accepting. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, all right. This is bewildering. How often am I bewildered by something that I read, Wendy? Not very often.
You're a bewildebeest.
Right, yeah. Right now I am a bewildebeest, and here's the reason why. A company, Inc.com, put together this survey because they wanted to know over at Inc.com if husbands and wives still found each other to be sexy. Of course, when you meet the person and when you marry the person, of course you find them to be sexy. But then as time goes on, does the husband still find the wife to be sexy and does she still find him to be sexy? Are you ready for these numbers? Are you sitting down?
Yes. Can I just tell you, I told Jimmy Mack he was sexy just yesterday.
You did? What provoked
Maybe it was 2 days
that?
Ago. He was sitting on the bed putting his shoes on and he had an awesome looking red Blackhawks t-shirt on and tight jeans. And I said, you look hot.
Yeah.
So that was yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah, I could see. I could see where that would work.
So that just happened.
And he probably says it to you all the time, I bet, doesn't he?
He says it quite a bit.
Does he say it quite a bit? Here are the numbers. They're not pretty.
Really?
Yeah. Husbands say they still find their wives to be sexy 53% of the time, which I think is very low, don't you?
Yeah, I do too.
That's, if I may state the obvious really quickly, that's half, less than, well, it's just
it's
more,
than
half,
half
the time. Yeah, I guess 50 would be the barometer for
and
half.
And you think it would be more than that because they just want some.
Yeah. I know.
I don't think they're as picky.
I don't think they're as picky. But 53% of husbands saying of their wives, yep, all these years later, still sexy. Now the numbers get really upsetting. When the roles were reversed, when they said to women, do you still find your husband to be sexy? 38% just over a third said yes. The man I married is still, in my opinion, sexy.
That surprises me. I would think women would find their significant others sexy more.
I would think women, I'm overgeneralizing, but I think they're more forgiving. And if he is aging, and he probably is, and he's put on some weight, or he's lost some hair, or he's just not as agile as he used to be, I think women would be more forgiving.
I would think that, but the statistics say otherwise.
They show opposite.
That's not good.
What do we do to fix this?
Call your wife. Let's ask her.
Well, she actually texted me, because we were talking about this yesterday, and she said, just so you know, I'm one of the 38%, which was very, very nice of her, wasn't
it? Oh, I took that the wrong way.
No, you thought the opposite. No, she...
38% of what? Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
So she's among...
You're good.
I'm good. And she... I don't even have to... Do I have to tell you?
No. You tell everybody how sexy she is.
Look at how well I did. I won the sexy lottery is what I won.
You still scratching your head on that one?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Wow, that's not good, Bill.
I think it's not just not good. I think it's awful because you want that spark to be there. You want to look at the person that you married and have, you know, still get excited every time you see. Every time I see Terry, every single time, two things happen. I go, wow, did I do great? Look at how great I did. And then, of course, the obvious, because we're talking about it, but she's looking great. My wife looks 15 years younger than she is.
More than that.
16 years younger. Yeah. 60, I'll go, you know what? 16 and a half years younger than she actually is.
Well, now the theory here is that once married, men don't put the same effort into staying attractive to their wives as much as women do.
You think that's honest? You think that's true?
Yeah. I think women, thank God women have girlfriends, because that's why they try to stay looking good.
There's something to
that. Because there's competition amongst their friends.
Right.
And especially now with Facebook, you want to still look pretty good because everybody's creeping on your profile.
Yes. Yes.
Men are like, I already scored her. What's, you know.
Well, it used to be a joke. I remember as my friends would get married, one by one, they'd say, well, now that I'm married, I can let myself go. And we'd all laugh. And then the realization would set in. They meant it. A lot of them were like, what do I care anymore? I found somebody. We're married. Doesn't matter anymore.
Forgive me for thinking, is that why you try to look your best to score a mate?
I just like
to look good when I like to look good.
But before you had somebody, before Jim was in the picture, wasn't that part of looking good? Was who? I could meet that guy at any time. Who knows when I'll meet him? I should look my best because I might be meeting that guy.
I guess I never go out without makeup because, you know, I would look like James Spader.
Right.
I try to remain clean. I try to make sure my hair looks good pretty much all the time. I'm a little sloppy dresser sometimes, but I like, you know, even every day I've been like that.
But didn't you put a little more effort into it before you, just a little more effort before
lower
you were
married? Tops, maybe.
Oh.
Before I got married. And now if I'm going out with Jim, I'll put the lower tops on again.
By request, does he say to you, tonight's a lower top night? And I like the shirt with the arrows, but get the shirt with the magic arrows.
He likes the fried egg shirt, really.
That's a classy shirt. I give him kudos on
it. No, he doesn't say that, because I would say, what? I'll wear what I want. Yeah. So he knows better.
Yeah. I just think for a lot of people, prior to meeting the person, maybe you dress a little more seductively, maybe. Just because you're a human billboard for yourself.
What do guys do before they're married? I mean, you haven't changed since you've been married, have you?
I don't think so. I'd be shocked if I did.
You're in better shape now than when I first met you.
I am. I really am. But, and I've said this before, and I mean this. This is the truest thing I'll ever say. The reason I stay in good shape is because my wife is in such good shape. If she let herself go, 10 minutes later, I'm letting myself go.
I don't believe you because you like to play tennis.
Yeah.
You like to stay active. So right. I think that's why you're in shape.
It's a big part of it, but the fact that she's been able to work this so well and look as good as she does, that's...
Competition, that's right. That's how you roll.
Competition.
All right, good to know.
I can't, because then people go, I think people already go, how in the world did he get her? But then it would be so obvious. People would say that all day, every time they saw us. They'd go, wow.
I don't judge
you
guys. I just look at you guys and go, that's a happy couple.
Oh, well, thank you.
And how did he get her?
Yeah. That's going to come up. I say it. Why shouldn't other people say it? I say it. All right. We'll talk about this and other topics next. If you have an opinion, we're at 312-981-7200. Share it with us. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Let them know. It's Rod the Mod. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder here on WGN. We're at 312-981-7200. The results of a survey from Inc.com have been released, and they're not pretty when it comes to married people thinking their spouses are still sexy. Here's why. They asked women the question, what do you think of your husband, still sexy or not? 53% said, oh, yeah, absolutely, my husband's still sexy. When the opposite happened, only 38%.
So 53% of men think their wives are sexy.
Oh, yeah, did I say it the wrong way? Yeah.
And 38% of women think their husbands are still sexy.
That's it, exactly.
That's sad statistics.
That is not a good number for either of them.
The guy who did the study, Jeff Hayden for Inc.com, he did his own little study where he went up to people, and he started out saying, excuse me, can I ask why you're working out? And the answers, the responses he got were weird. It was like, what are you trying to say, I'm fat? Or, ooh, so I'm not working out hard enough to suit you? Then this guy, Jeff, realized he should provide more background. So he settled on saying, I'm doing a survey for an article about the reasons people work out. Can you tell me why you exercise?
Yeah.
Here are the results, the top answers from married men.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to get in better shape, or I'm trying to get stronger. That was the first thing. I'm training for a marathon or some kind of event.
Mm-hmm.
Or another response from the men that were asked this question, why do you work out? Well, you see, I have this high cholesterol, heart, joint, back, whatever issue, and that means I have to.
Hmm.
And then it says, note to self, don't ever ask men follow-up questions about their health, because when you do, they'll talk forever.
Yeah.
All right, so that's how what men answered, why are you working out? Trying to get in shape, training for a marathon, or for health reasons.
Right.
The top answers from married women, I want to look better, either slimmer, trimmer, or more toned. The other response, I want to look good for my husband.
Okay, that's, so far, that's the most alarming, because women automatically would say, it's partially for me, but really, I want him to be stimulated by the way I look. But guys didn't mention their wives even once.
No, and I think that's why 38% of women don't find, or 38%, only 38% find their mates attractive, because men aren't, they just...
Yeah.
I don't know that I believe this. I want to look good for my husband. I don't know. Another top answer from married women when asked why they want to work out, it burns off stress after work that I don't want to take home with me.
Oh.
That's a good one,
that's
too.
That's a very good one, yeah.
And then the fourth response was, you're not getting ready to hit on me, are you? Second note to self, it seems constantly on the make guys have ruined the prospects for casual conversations with women for the rest of us. Scientific, absolutely not. Nonetheless, the results are telling the men in this survey work out for mainly intrinsic reasons. Not that there's anything wrong with that. They want to accomplish a personal goal. Or they want to try and avoid health problems. The women in his survey work out to accomplish personal goals, but their motivations for working out sometimes go beyond personal achievement or satisfaction. Many want to be seen as attractive, often with a specific person in mind.
Oh, all right. That also makes some sense. I see that.
This is interesting, too. Whether you're a man or a woman, early on in your relationship, your spouse liked how you looked. Your spouse enjoyed finding you attractive.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want that to continue to be the case?
So true.
Why should your spouse need to be mature enough to look past your outside and focus on the beauty inside?
Right. That's absolutely true.
This is just an article for working out.
Do you think it is?
Yes.
Do you? to urge you to go and make yourself look better? Along those same lines, I have to say this. Do you remember we told you the story? We were talking about this about a year ago. There was some Playboy playmate that at her health club took a picture of a woman. Now, keep in mind, it's a Playboy playmate, so she's gonna look fairly good, right?
If that's your thing.
So then she saw a girl there at the health club who, in her opinion, did not look good, and she took a picture of it and put it on social media saying, I had to look at this woman, and now all of you do too, and that created something of a stir. You're not supposed to be taking pictures of people like that and posting them. And
plus, this woman was going to the health club to work out to get in shape.
Right.
So
the reason I tell you that is this. As of last week at the health club I go to, there is a giant sign posted as you enter into the club. And the club I go to is not the one that this episode took place with the Playboy Playmate. But it says in no uncertain terms that if you're on this property using their equipment, that does not give you the right to take pictures of anybody else there without anybody's permission. So don't do it. So I wonder what happened that made them realize we have to post this. I mean, obviously that court case happened and they don't want to be involved in something like that, but to take that kind of drastic action, because it wasn't their company. It was a competing company, athletic company.
But see, guys look the same all the time, pretty much. It's not like you wear makeup to work and you don't.
Right, that's true.
When women work out, sometimes we go there and our hair is maybe not freshly clean and right. We may not have makeup on.
Right.
And, maybe you're feeling a little puffy, so that's why you're going to work out.
Right.
So you're at your most vulnerable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like saying nobody could, you can't take pictures at a doctor's appointment either. I mean, really.
That would be weird, but funny.
There are some, gym rats who go to the gym just to hang out and be social and
absolutely.
Meet people.
Oh, there's a couple girls that go to the club that I go to that are
they don't even work
so
out, do
made
they?
Up. No, it's just
they walk kinda, from machine
yeah.
to machine and fraternize.
But they're extremely made up, and yeah, they're not breaking a sweat. They're just, hanging out. And fine. I mean, you can go for whatever reason. But you're right. I mean, it's an unfair advantage. You shouldn't be taking pictures and publishing them in places anyway. But that is kind of a downtime for some people.
Yeah, because they're going to work out. Sometimes there are women that I don't understand, and God, more power to you. They get up at 4:30 in the morning to go work out before work.
I know.
So that's before they've showered and gotten ready for the day.
Right.
You're at your most vulnerable
right.
there. And
right.
please, can I just say, don't wear cologne or perfume to work out, because then when you get a machine after a woman or a man, and it seems like it's happening more with men,
yeah.
you smell like somebody else's cologne.
Right, right.
Don't do it.
Now, as a guy, on the flip side of that, there are guys that I would like to beg to, get some Banroll on, maybe. Wouldn't be a terrible thing.
Well, the Banroll on would not stick to the machine.
No, it doesn't stick to the machine.
And don't cover it up with the extra axe, because that's not working.
No. But haven't you ever worked out next to somebody who you go, you've showered this week, right? At some point, did you?
I got to tell you, maybe my sense of smell is not as good as it used to. I've never really smelled anybody.
Oh, you don't?
Not
oh,
really.
You're lucky. I've had an incident or two.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I've had to move machines. On more than one occasion, I've had to switch machines because you just go, this is going to be a long 20 minutes. I can't do this.
I've never really smelled anyone, which
no.
I guess is good.
Very good. Let's take a break. News is coming up next. Kim's going to give you the news, and then Dean Richards with a couple of big movies opening this weekend. So stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys' tea.
He's Dean.
Dean. Hi, Dean.
I like when you make my name a seven-syllable word.
Well, the original, isn't that how it was originally pronounced? Was D-E-E-E-E-E-N?
It was. Yeah. It was from the ancient Greek.
Yep.
D-E-E-E-E-E-E-N-opolis.
Right. A long time ago. People forget.
Yep.
Hey, Dean, we need to talk to you about this. This is crazy. Disney has a huge problem on their hands because they've got this big movie coming out.
I smell a gay moment.
Beauty and the Beast. But if you see the movie, if you see Beauty and the Beast, you will become gay. Right? Isn't that what
that's
I'm reading?
That's what they're
that?
Saying.
Yeah.
That's what some would have you believe.
Oh, man.
That's
how about
some,
that?
That's what some would have you believe.
How about that?
I'm going to say that's not true.
Yeah.
This is the interesting part to me, that the people who have been criticizing this movie and launching boycotts against the movie have not seen the movie. So it's interesting. It's always interesting to me when somebody makes a judgment on something on which they have no firsthand knowledge.
Sure.
They've been told that there is a so-called gay moment in the movie, and they don't want... they don't want that influence.
Yeah.
Or, as Bill says, they don't want their kids instantly turning the gay.
That's what would happen.
The gay.
If they saw the movie. Now here is, I did see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, here's what this so-called gay moment is. Yeah, are you familiar with Beauty and the Beast, the animated
very much so,
version?
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful movie. I've watched it a couple of times recently just to refamiliarize myself with it before this live-action version comes out next week. And the character called LeFou is sort of this impish, oafish, goofy sidekick to the evil Gaston in the movie, who wants to marry Belle, but Belle has no interest in this guy because she's fallen in love with a buffalo.
Yeah, a water buffalo.
Right.
Is this true?
Yeah.
Well, why aren't bestiality people getting into this?
They're fine with it. They don't, they're not complaining.
I never saw Beauty and the Beast.
Apparently the critics have no problem with bestiality in any way, but what this gay moment actually, at the end of the movie, there's this joyous dance scene in a big ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's dancing. The teapot's dancing. The candelabra is dancing. Well, most of your major utensils are.
It's like a party at Crate and Barrel.
It's a party at Crate and Barrel. Exactly. They're all dancing. They're all having a good time. And in this scene, literally for about 2 seconds, you see two characters, two men, kind of like dance into a scene and then out of the scene. It's that fast.
Yeah.
And in the midst of a giant dance scene with the entire cast. That's the whole thing. Now,
they don't kiss or anything?
They don't kiss. There's nothing romantic. There's nothing sexual. There's nothing implied. Nothing whatsoever like that. It's that brief 2 second dance moment, which is, you know, part of part of this dance scene at the end of the movie. Now, this LeFou character, you know, he's kind of over the top. He's a little bit flamboyant. That's how it was in the animated movie. It's not any different. And, you know, I don't think that that's what makes a person gay anyway, but some people have interpreted it, I guess, that way. And it's a whole lot of nothing. The whole thing is just a whole lot of nothing.
That's a shame.
It is a shame. I guess like a week or so ago, there was a theater in the South that said, we're not going to show this movie, and that's the reason why. In Russia, they will not show the movie in Russia for this reason.
Well, they issued an edict yesterday, and I'm pretty sure that Putin had something to do with this, because he's pretty much involved in everything here in America now. The Russian Culture Ministry said that this movie in Russia can only be viewed by people over the age of 16.
Oh.
So it's an adults-only movie.
Oh. That is ridiculous.
Basically in Russia.
What if LeFou's character, instead of dancing, took his shirt off and rode a horse? Would Putin be okay with that?
Apparently that's not gay.
Oh, all right.
But look at the Russian dancing, you know, where they kick their knees out. They have...
You mean the all-men dance troops?
Yes.
All-men dance troops.
Yes.
All-male Russian choirs. And
with the fuzzy hats?
All those. Hey, you know what? I'm sure it's something cultural that we just don't understand.
Probably.
I don't get it. But, you know, I say, if you're going to be mad at a Disney movie, can we talk about the one where a single woman is living with seven dwarfs?
That's a little odd.
In the middle of the forest, and nobody said anything about that.
Right.
How about the puppet boy who is sent to an island of all boys, where they are turned into all donkeys?
Who smoke.
And they smoke.
Yep,
apparently
donkeys.
That's okay.
They have a smoking donkey.
Yeah, they have a smoking donkey. Lampwick.
I wish I had a smoking donkey.
His name is Lampwick.
You'd never leave the house.
You'll see me out at North Avenue Beach. Everyone's out there with their Labradors and their poodles and
Is that Dean Richards? He's got a smoking donkey.
Look at that donkey smoking Salem cigarettes.
We laugh, but I bet in a year.
That's a cartoon I'd want to go see.
Yeah.
Of course.
Don't you kind of give Disney some credit, though, for not backing down on this and not saying, oh, people are upset. We're going to edit that little scene
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. It's so nothing. I mean, really, the scene is, it's literally, if you blink your eyes, you miss this scene.
What if you bat your eyes?
If you bat your eyes in a gay way, you mean?
Yeah.
Then maybe. Right. See, it's working on Bill.
Yep.
Just talking about this, Bill's turning.
Yep. I think he's turning.
Yep.
Maybe that's why I've never seen any Julie Andrews movies, because I don't want to turn into her.
Oh, come on.
But you should be mad and boycott Disney movies, because it's always so sad and treacherous at
the
beginning.
Always
when
killing they're killing somebody's mother in the movies.
They'd
right?
be mad about that.
Right. Yes.
And here's the thing, you know, these are cartoons. I don't know if people realize that teapots and candelabras don't really sing and talk. That's fantasy.
Right.
This movie
spoiler
is about
alert.
Fantasy. And ironically, this movie is about loving a person for who they really are. Loving the person not based on the exterior appearance, but on the actual character of the person. So it's more than ironic that this whole controversy should be focused on this movie, when really, I mean, I'll review the movie more next week. This is one of the most magnificent, beautiful movies. I loved every single second of it. It's done so well. It's so creative. You'll be able to sing along with every song, you know, if you're familiar with the original.
Yeah.
Emma Watson is so good. Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey plays Beast. And how they've even created all of this, the Beast costume, if you will, is mostly digitally created on him. So it's fascinating how they even technically do this. But it's just a beautiful, lovely, wonderful story that's fun and exciting. And when I heard this gay moment story, I couldn't believe it. It's so ridiculous.
Here's the craziest thing, Dean. I don't know if you know the backstory about the guy who wrote the original Disney version of Beauty and the Beast, but he was a writer that was suffering from AIDS, and he used that as kind of a parallel, like the story of the Beast. In addition to it being a love story, he was saying, this is what it's like to live in my own private castle with something as dangerous and awful as AIDS. And I think most people probably don't know that backstory, but it really gives another layer to an already fantastic movie.
It does. I mean, this is basically the story of loving a person for who they are, not how they look, not what they have, not their material possessions, not anything except the inner beauty of a person. That's what Beauty and the Beast is really about.
And we need more of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We really do.
All right.
Smoking donkeys.
We need so many more smoking donkeys. Dean Richards is here. He's going to tell us about some movies that are coming out this weekend. So stay here. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Wendy, and we are talking with Dean Richards, and we were talking about Beauty and the Beast. Someone has texted us, boy, these people must have hated Bugs Bunny. How many times did he cross-dress and dance with guys?
Right.
Just wanted to share that with everyone.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, there's something to that.
One of my favorite scenes where Bugs Bunny dresses up as a manicurist with the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
Oh, you monsters must meet the most interesting people.
Yep. Dean, one of the movies that I have been looking forward to, I'm not making this up, more than any other movie, is coming out, and that's Kong Skull Island.
Really?
I've been looking forward to this like crazy.
I would not have guessed you to be a King Kong fan like that.
It looks pretty awesome, I got to tell you.
I think it's pretty awesome. Awesome. I think you're going to enjoy it. It goes back to, just really like the fun of these kind of movies, these attempts at redoing the King Kong story, a couple of them since the 1933 original, which is awesome, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never seen the 1933 original, it's worth renting or downloading. And taking a look at it, when you think about the technology that they were able to do to put this film together, some parts of it are really hokey and funny, but it's 1933.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing what they're able to accomplish. But this new one goes back to kind of, you know, the days of why we loved watching monster movies on TV, because they were a level was scary, but a level was just good, like really fun.
Yeah.
Fun movies and well done. And this one is all of that. It is set in the early 70s. It is set in toward the end of the war in Vietnam. So it's set in that part of the world. And they, as they discover a small island where there's some activity going on. Guess what the activity is?
Hmm.
It's a giant gorilla.
That'll do it.
It's a giant gorilla that is fought off. But it's done with great excitement. The producers of this film have really just captured, I think, why we love movies like this. It's big, it's fun, it's exciting. There are a few little subplots that aren't that interesting, but don't really get in the way. They don't really hurt the movie. At the same time, there are a few little subplots that are just wonderful. One of which includes Chicago's own John C. Reilly, who is great. Tom Hiddleston is in the movie. Samuel L. Jackson is in the movie. Try to see it on as big a screen as you possibly can. I think this is one of the rare movies where it's actually worth seeing it on an IMAX screen or seeing it in 3D for some extra excitement. So big fat Dean's List B+.
Oh, good, good, good.
For Kong Skull Island.
Dean, here's a story I always heard about the 1933 version, and I've read this in several books. I don't know if you've heard this story, but apparently when they made that first version in 1933, there was a sequence that took place on Skull Island that was so frightening that the rest of the movie couldn't hold up. It wasn't as terrifying as that one sequence that you saw very early on in the film.
Yeah,
so they had to pull it out of the movie.
I had heard that. And again, these are by 1933 standards. I'd never seen that scene. I'd never seen it re-added
right, to
you know, make my own judgment on it. But I'd be really curious to see what that was, because I don't know how anything could be scarier than the clearly fake King Kong arm reaching into the bedroom. You know, which
you get Fay Wray?
And pulls Fay Wray out of the bedroom. It's like, it's clearly the fakest looking arm in the world.
Right.
That reaches in, you know, slowly pulls her out. She's, you know, flailing and waving her arms and legs.
Yeah.
And going crazy. I saw another scene where King Kong has got Fay Wray in his hand, and you know she's screaming and going crazy, and he's just taking his finger and like
trying to take her top off.
He's like messing with her a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess he is sort of trying to take his top off, but he's just sort of like, you know, pushing, you know, and testing the texture and all that. And she's screaming, but then the weirdest part is that he smells his finger.
Oh, he does.
Which is
That's interesting.
So weird.
Well, they didn't have smoking donkeys back then, Dean. You know that.
You had to amuse yourself somewhere.
Right, to find somebody.
But he's trying to see, what does this creature smell like?
Right, so true. All right,
it would have been inappropriate to bring her up to his nostrils.
In 1933, you couldn't do that.
He would never make it past the movie board back then.
What about this other movie? It's a Shirley MacLaine movie called The Last Word. What do we know about this?
This movie I saw over the weekend, and it is Shirley MacLaine playing another one of these irascible senior citizens, just such a difficult person to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
She is a former very, very successful businesswoman who has everything. She's got a beautiful home and she's got all kinds of money, and she's got everything except family and friends. She was so unpleasant to be around. Even her own daughter doesn't want to be around her. Her husband left her because she's so unpleasant. All of her former friends or all of her former coworkers, nobody likes her, and she's living a very sad life. And in the beginning of the movie, you see her reading the obituary pages of people that she knew, who she knew not to be very not nice people.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she goes to the obituary writer, played by Amanda Seyfried, and said, "You're making these terrible people seem great. I want you to write my obituary, but I want to see it. I want to approve it. I want to make sure that the obituary that will run when I finally die is to my liking." So it's this young obituary writer hanging out with this awful person who is trying to make some amends in her life. She's trying to be nicer to people. She's trying to be more charitable. And, through a very kind of meticulous process of trying to be fake nice to people, so the obituary writer has something to say nice about her, she actually realizes that maybe she didn't spend her life the way she should have spent her life. This extremely odd couple kind of become friends a little bit, and kind of fulfill the voids in each other's lives. And it's kind of a thoughtful movie. I don't think it's a great movie. I don't think this is a role that we haven't seen Shirley MacLaine in before. It's kind of an extension of, you know, if you were to look at her character from Terms of Endearment and say, where is this very unpleasant person 30 years later? This would be that person.
Oh.
Or who is this unpleasant person that we knew in Steel Magnolias? This would be that person. So it's sort of that role again, but it's a person who's in her 80s trying to make some last-minute adjustments in her life so she is remembered more fondly. Performances are okay. Story's okay. Giving this one just a Dean's List C.
All right. All right.
It's okay, though. It'll be in just a few theaters. Here's a spoiler alert.
Yes.
There are no smoking donkeys in that movie.
I'm not going.
We're not going.
One single smoking animal whatsoever.
You talked Wendy and me out of it. We're not going to see it. Dean, thank you so much. We are always thrilled to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
It's always my pleasure. Please, more often, like you were doing yesterday. I was telling Wendy a little while ago how much I enjoyed your bad music of the 70s yesterday.
All right, we can do that more
often. I stayed in the car for about a half an hour longer than I needed to.
Oh, good.
Because I was enjoying that so much. So
your wish is our command. Thanks, Dean. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Dean.
Quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Winter's Business Lunch. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, is there anyone special you would like to say goodbye to?
They'll never love you. We could say goodbye to Jay Cutler.
Yes. Let us now say goodbye to Jay Cutler and thank him for all the magic moment that he provided in 8 years as the Bears quarterback.
Does that cheer you up for next season, Bill?
Nope.
I asked him that off the air, Kim. I said, so you're going to watch the Bears now? And he said, nope.
Nope.
Oh, I thought maybe that would change your mind, that they're changing things up.
It's a lateral move. It's not a move in the right direction. This guy,
can I just say one word after Mike Glennon's name?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. The backup quarterback with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is not going to win you any kind of Super Bowl ring. It's just not.
And also, doesn't he have an injury that he's dealing with?
I think so. God. I think that's
been
mentioned.
So why would
you
bring on a quarterback with already having an injury? We should check Adam
Hook.
There's
no one better out there.
They're, yes.
You would think.
They're, right?
Aren't they growing quarterbacks in some country?
In test tubes.
I mean, come on.
Right. In a futuristic science lab somewhere in Bulgaria. I bet they are. No, this, I said to Adam Hogue yesterday, Kim, I don't know if you heard, but I said, are you or anyone you know excited by this? And he said, no, because this isn't exciting. And they just signed him to a 3-year deal.
For not that much money, a lot of money in our terms, it's $14 million, but in the way of quarterbacks, it's not that much.
It's a 3-year deal that is reportedly at $43.5 million, which is, you could live on that. A person could live on that.
14 a year.
But at some point, Bears management's going to go, we can't really bring it. We're paying this guy all that money. We can't really bring in another quarterback.
Well, that's not what Adam said. Adam said this is not going to be your franchise quarterback. They're going to bring him in because he's available.
And draft another, a lower-priced, you know, untried rookie quarterback. But
look at Aaron Rodgers.
I was just going to say that sometimes, you know, backup
Favre, you know,
quarterbacks.
You
I mean, can I he be worse than Jay Cutler?
I don't know that he could be worse than Jay Cutler.
Then turn that frown upside down, my friend.
You give the guy a test, a color test. You say, here's the color of a jersey. Is this a color that you would throw the ball to? And if it's the same color as the Bears are wearing, you go, all right, this is already an improvement over what we've had for the last 8 years. 8 years, by the way.
When I was reading that ChicagoTribune.com, that astounded me. I can't believe he has been...
That's a long time
to be mediocre and
bad. A long time, not just to be mediocre and bad, but for people to say... Let's see what this guy's got. Let's give him a shot. Because at the 8-year mark, you say to yourself, I think we more than gave him a shot.
Yeah, we gave him a shot.
You get 2 years to prove yourself, and then you enjoy 6 years.
Right.
8 years? Come on.
It's too long.
Cutler made 102 regular season starts over his 8 seasons in Chicago. And
Wendy, I want to say...
We have presidents that long.
Yes, we do. I want to say, and I have nothing in front of me to prove this, but I believe you said 102 starts.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was right at the 50-50 mark
if he was off, he was off by a game or two, but he was right around a 500 quarterback, which he's been everywhere. That's how, that's him.
He missed
wins
20,
half the games.
He missed 25 starts because of injuries and one because of a benching. I don't have any more information on that.
Well, that was last season, right? When they said, I'm not sure he's going to win anymore. So why don't you sit down and we'll see if we can find another guy who might not win also.
Take a load off.
Right. Right. And he just, I know you can't judge a book by its cover. I understand that.
But you can.
He just seemed incredulous to the whole thing. He just didn't seem to care. Win, lose, he just had that same look on his face. I don't care.
Why, I was telling you this off the air, and of course that's why I do not manage a football team and never will, but give them money, yes, a signing contract and what they're going to make, mm-hmm. but then bonuses on your performance. I guess they have that, don't they?
Most contracts in the NFL, most sports contracts have some sort of incentive clause built in, not all, but most. It's not to the point where you're suggesting, where you say you get a small base salary, but every time you win a game, we'll toss you X amount of dollars. It's
but
not,
wouldn't you work harder and wouldn't your face show enthusiasm more than Jay Cutler's did?
You would hope. You would sure hope. All right, this is the question I throw out to you. Can you think of a bigger disappointment in Chicago sports than Jay Cutler had been for 8 years? Because I can't. I can think of a couple guys who came kind of close, but I can't think of anybody that passes it.
Who's the coming kind of close?
Albert Bell of the White Sox.
Remember that.
That was a guy who every time he batted for the Cleveland Indians just hit the ball 1,000 miles.
You're right.
Like every time he came up. Sometimes they'd blindfold him. They'd let him bat. He'd hit a home run. Then he comes to the White Sox. He can't do anything.
He couldn't even play Wii baseball.
I know.
I can't think of a bigger disappointment.
That to me is always going to be, you know, the one. And, you know, there have been a couple of other guys along the way, but not Jay Cutler sized.
Aaron wants to commiserate with us. Aaron, tell us your woes.
Oh, I love you guys. First of all, so sad to hear about your schedule change.
Oh, thank you.
I'll learn to function. But listening about the Jay Cutler thing, I'm a mom. I have a 10-year-old son, and my poor kid has never had a hometown football team to be worthy of to wear a Bears sweatshirt, a Bears t-shirt, a Bears anything, a Bears hat, you know? So I'm so glad they're finally getting rid of Cutler, but I think it almost needs to be a complete revamp like the Cubs. It was magical to watch that seventh game with him to see us finally win. It, like, makes me tear up almost, you know?
Can I ask why everybody still sported a Cubs sweater or sweatshirt or whatever, and they didn't win until last year, but everybody still supported them. The Bears, it's like, I swear to God, you go to Marshall's or TJ Maxx and you can get all the Bears jerseys for $12.99.
You know, I guess my family, I grew up, my grandma watched the Cubs. It was just like part of our, like, family. The Cubs game was always on when you'd go to visit her.
Yeah.
Tradition.
So it was like, they're doing their best. You didn't expect as much. Football, to me, is different. And I really have a new appreciation for professional baseball after watching the last two seasons of the Cubs. And so maybe, you know, I don't know how to answer that question, but I'm just glad at least there's some kind of change. But I think it does need to be more than just the quarterback. But, I mean, my gosh, 8 years. He's 10 years old. He was like a baby, you know what I mean?
That's awful. That's sad.
It's awful. And I love professional football. I love watching it when it's on. And it's hard to root for a team that's not from Chicago. I mean, I appreciate a good team, you know, when they're playing well together. But it'd be great if it was the Bears, you know?
Wouldn't it?
Someday,
really would.
You guys. Someday.
Mm. Yeah. Hopefully. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm sure I'm not the only one. And not just, you know, moms of sons, but moms of daughters, moms of anybody that appreciates, you know, a team when they're playing well together is just a beautiful thing.
I forgot what a football game looked like until I watched the Super Bowl this year and
That's
said, oh, my God,
is.
This is fun and exciting.
Yeah.
It was so exciting. Oh, my goodness. I was just like on the edge of my seat, up and down. And I mean, I wanted the Falcons to win, but, I mean, you can't deny that it was an awesome game. You know,
it was great.
It didn't go the way I wanted. Yeah, definitely. So that's all.
Aaron, thank you. We hope your son gets to see a winner in his lifetime. That's what we're hoping.
Yeah, he will. It's just, right. It's kind of good. It's like, finally, I kept hoping, and so we'll see. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Taking my call.
Of course.
Thanks, Aaron.
You guys do.
All right.
Yeah, take care.
Bye.
Thanks. You can always catch us on the podcast. We won't be on 1 to 3 anymore starting Monday.
Yes.
John Williams returns.
Yes.
But you can listen to our podcast.
We hope you do. All right, let's do this.
Will you?
Oh, I have something going on. I can't. I've heard good things, but all right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, in case you missed it, the Bears have made a change or two. Jay Cutler, who's been pretending to be the Bears quarterback for the past 8 seasons, is no longer in the fold. He was released. But don't worry, your prayers have been answered. Mike Glennon is the new Bears quarterback. Kevin Powell joins us from the WGN Sports Department to talk about this. Kevin, real quick, I just said to Wendy, I can't think of a bigger disappointment in Chicago sports history all across the board, you name the sport, than Jay Cutler was. Can you?
Ooh, that's a good one. That is a real good. You know, I just remember I still remember. It's one of those remember where you were moments, which is kind of sad for me, I guess, knowing exactly where I was when the Bears made the trade for Jay Cutler 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And everyone thought, well, this is it.
Magic answer.
This is it. We finally have a quarterback after all these years. This is a guy we thought, I mean, he made a Pro Bowl with the Broncos once in his first few years, none with the Bears. I think the numbers, when you look at them, the thing that sticks out the most is the overall record for Cutler, which is 51-51, which to me sort of sums it up, because you would see good Jay and you would see good Bears and you're like, okay, this is good.
Yeah.
And then it would change in a series. It would change in a quarter. It would change in a half. It would change from a week-to-week basis. It would be good Jay, bad Jay. And I do think there was sort of a stigma with Cutler after that 2010 NFC Championship game we all remember when fans piled on him. They thought he wasn't playing through injuries. I think one thing that we can put to rest is that Jay Cutler wasn't or is or is not tough. I think when we've seen what the offensive lines he's had over the years and the inconsistency there is, he's taken shot after shot. He's stayed in games. I know a lot of people want to point to that 2010 NFC Championship game and say, well, he's on the sideline. He didn't play through this knee injury. I mean, the fact of the matter is a torn ligament in his knee. So I think that didn't help him on early on in his stay here in Chicago. It didn't sit well with fans and his overall attitude. But overall, man, it was just time to move on. It was time for a fresh start.
But couldn't you have said that about Jay Cutler 3 or 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, why'd they wait so long?
Well, I think because when you looked at quarterbacks that were available, look, I know you guys debate. I know how you guys feel about Jay Cutler, but when you look at the overall quarterback play in the NFL, Cutler was still better than a whole lot of them. He really was.
On paper.
Okay, I guess that's fair in some ways, but there was also times when you'd see him go out there and play, and he looked like a Pro Bowl quarterback, and he made throws most guys couldn't make. So I think a little bit was denial. I think you guys are right there, but and I think, too, right now, especially now, the Bears realize that it has to be full rebuild. I think a few years ago, where they thought they had a roster that could contend for a division, for the postseason, I think the past couple of years, it's like, all right, We do not have a lot of talent on the roster. It's time to move on.
Kevin, a lot of people have texted as we've discussed this. We talked about it a little bit yesterday and now today, and they say, hey, look at the Cubs. The Cubs realized you have to rebuild, and they did. But the difference is the Cubs went and got guys that had a history of doing this. They looked at Boston, and they said, let's grab those guys and bring them here. I don't know that the Bears have the wherewithal to do that.
There's no one to grab, is there, Kevin?
You talking about in terms of the draft for quarterbacks right now? Is that what you're looking
no,
at?
No, just in terms of getting somebody to be an architect for change.
Yeah, well, I think, and again, another just to add on to your question why they hadn't moved on before, I think another thing that you have to factor in is the guaranteed money, which there is no more guaranteed money on that contract for Cutler.
So so now it was time.
They would have had to cut him and still paid him. I don't think the Bears and McCaskies wanted to do that. In terms of a rebuild, I just think sport to sport is different. Baseball, you can draft guys, you can sign guys, you can trade pieces off. There's a lot more trades that happen in baseball than there is in the NFL. So when the trade deadline comes in baseball, you can move a veteran guy and pick up a prospect here, a prospect there. You do well in the draft, and then you have a chance to develop them. In the NFL, you're thrown right into it. So the rebuild process is a little different, although I think that's one of the frustrating things for Bears fans right now is, are we rebuilding or not? And what do we make of this Mike Glennon signing exactly? I mean, the reports right now, it sounds like it's a 3-year, $45 million deal with about $20 million guaranteed. So for a starting quarterback, relative to what starting quarterbacks are getting in the NFL, it's not a huge, huge contract. I think right now Mike Glennon is nothing more than a Band-Aid I think your quarterback situation for the Bears this year is going to be Mike Glennon, Connor Shaw, and then whoever they draft in this draft. But, Wendy, as you said, there aren't a whole lot of top prospects. I mean, you kind of have to get lucky if you get the number one pick and Andrew Luck is there, or you can draft a Matt Ryan or somebody who's pretty much a sure bet. But when you look up and down the draft, there's not – nobody really stands out. So I think that's why fans are a little bit nervous, but at least – Glennon gives you somebody there, but I know Bears fans are sort of hollering on Twitter, like, well, who cares who our quarterback is? If we're tanking, we're tanking. I mean, wouldn't you rather lose more games anyways than have Glennon who helps you win six games compared to
what
four?
What if he's awesome? What if this turns everything around?
Well, and from our Bears insider, Adam Hoge, from what he said after studying tape and from what we've heard from NFL scouts, they love this. They love him. They love all his tools. He can throw. He's got a big arm. He's not the most agile. He's not going to scramble or anything like that, but everybody's big on him. And the only reason he hasn't been starting, I shouldn't say the only reason, but the main reason is because Tampa Bay took a quarterback with a top overall pick. And when you do that, the top overall pick is going to play, and you're going to get relegated to backup, you know, unless you're already a Pro Bowl. In that case, the team wouldn't even take in a quarterback. So Jameis Winston's been the number one QB in Tampa Bay, where Glennon's been holding a clipboard. But scouts are big on Mike Glennon, so maybe he does turn out to be good. I don't know exactly what we're going to get from him. You've only seen him in, 20 career appearances, something like that? So we really don't know exactly what they're doing there. But
that's what we like, is a good mystery, Kevin.
A good mystery.
Bears fans love a good mystery.
I love a good mystery with the most important position in all of sports, the quarterback.
And I don't like you calling him a Band-Aid, but it does say Curette on his jersey. I just saw a picture of it online. That's not a good sign. Kevin, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it.
Jay Cutler era is over.
It's over.
Bye-bye.
We can breathe easier. All right, we'll take a quick break. And then you're going to meet a documentarian, an incredible story. Wait till you hear this. That's coming up right after the news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. All right, Bill, you and I have been talking about this movie. I think last week we talked about Life Animated because Gilbert Gottfried is in this movie. We're going to be talking to Gilbert sometime in the next month or so about this movie. And now we're going to find out all about this movie. It's based on Owen Suskind. He is featured in this Oscar-nominated film, Life Animated, and his mother, Cornelia Suskind, is with us today. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
We appreciate it. Bill has told me a little about this movie, and I would like you to explain it because it sounds beautiful.
Oh, thank you. It is an amazing film. Roger Ross Williams, who is an Academy Award winning director, is an old friend of ours. And when my husband's book of the same title came out, he and Roger were talking, and Roger said, I really want to make a documentary film about Owen. And so the film really captures a lot of what's in the book, which is the story of Owen's growth and our family and him growing up and his diagnosis with autism. But then it takes Owen into the last year or two of his life where he transitioned from school to living on his own and having a girlfriend and all of that adult life.
Owen, I have goosebumps hearing that, by the way. Can I just say?
Owen is autistic, but early on in life, there were little to no symptoms of autism, correct?
Right. So Owen has what's called regressive autism, or has regressive autism. One is always autistic if you're diagnosed. And that's about 30% of people with autism have regressive autism, where they develop seemingly normally until they're about 2.5 or so, and then they start losing skills. So Owen we had no thought at all there was anything wrong with him.
He was hitting all the benchmarks that doctors and pediatricians say you should be standing by this time, talking.
Yeah, interacting, you know, everything was fine. And then we moved from Boston to Washington, and almost as soon as we moved, he started losing eye contact and language and even motor skills.
Did you assume at the time it had something to do with the move, that he just wasn't comfortable?
That's exactly what I thought. You know, it's very typical for kids when they move. And that went on for a couple of weeks, but it became so clear because it was so glaringly obvious that he was in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, at that point, being a mother, you just want the answers, and I bet a million things were running through your head. You said the move maybe disrupted things. Did you a stroke?
I mean, really? Yeah, did he hit his head? I mean, we had all kinds of crazy thoughts, but autism was never one of them. I mean, we just had no experience with it, so we had no idea. So when we got the diagnosis, it was pretty devastating, as it is for any parent.
At that point, you and your husband probably know very little about autism, right?
Right.
All right. So what did you learn along the way? What was that process like for you guys?
Well, I'll tell you, there's an interesting Chicago angle to this, because we were incredibly fortunate. You know, we knew we had just moved. We knew no one. Our old pediatrician was in Boston. We were referred to a pediatrician by a friend in my husband's office. And we went to his office, this pediatrician. And he ended up being the most incredibly compassionate, brilliant man who was really on the cutting edge of autism research. We had no idea. And he then, many years later, moved to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he is now one of the premier developmental pediatricians in Chicago. And so he acted as our quarterback, really. He led us down the road and said, okay, here's what we're dealing with. Here's what you have to do, speech, OT, special ed, you know, and in such an incredibly compassionate way. Without Alan Rosenblatt, I don't know where we would have been.
Yeah. At some point, Owen's life changes in that the way he is able to communicate is through Disney films.
Right. So what we realized when he lost language and he was nonverbal for a long time, the only time that he would be relaxed and happy and comfortable was when he was watching a Disney film.
Yeah.
And so we would do that together as a family. And then at one point he was speaking sort of gibberish and saying, juicer vos, juicer vos, juicer vos. And we were watching The Little Mermaid. And I looked at my husband. I said, he's not saying juicer vos. He's saying just your voice. The line from the film, you know, why would he pick that line of all lines? You know, she loses her voice to the evil Ursula, the sea witch. And so at that point, we started to think, you know, it was very difficult for us to make sense of it, but was making that simple connection with something he saw and heard and was trying to express. So it was a very long road to where he is now, obviously, very long road. But bits and pieces, he started extrapolating from these movies that he loved, his passion, to connect with us with language.
This is the most touching story, honestly, that I have ever heard. Oh. And to be a mom and want to help and do something, just hearing that him communicate something, that opened everything up for you, didn't it?
It did. And, you know, as a parent and as any parent of a nonverbal autistic child can tell you, not being able to communicate with your child is the most painful, difficult thing in the world.
Sure.
It really is. And so to have even a little window, a little shard of hope that we were getting. And then, you know, of course, he was, you know, still receiving all kinds of therapy and education. But it started us thinking about jumping into his passion, the thing that he loved, and how could we use that? Because frankly, we didn't have anything else.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we thought, oh, you know, we love Disney and we're going to do it. We weren't like that at all. It was literally the only hook that we had to work with him.
When you present this to doctors, you and your husband realize there's that connection. So when you tell doctors this, how do they explain this? What do they say?
When he was young?
Yeah.
Well, when he was young, you know, it really is, it's called echolalia. So it's something that's very common in autism, and it's a repeating, a scripting of language that they've heard, but the truth is there was something else going on there. And so initially, you know, again, this is early days. This is the early 90s. You know, autism has come a long way in terms of the science and the understanding. So, you know, people, pretty much doctors were saying, you know what, don't get your hopes up. This is perseverative. It's an obsession. The Disney's an obsession. Cut it off. Use it as a reward.
They told you to cut it off.
Oh, yeah, sure. And we did. I mean, we tried. We did what we were told, and we did anything we...
Was this so as to not get your hopes up? Why would they tell you...
Well, because, you know, it was obsessive. I mean, in truth, it really was obsessive. It was the only thing he focused on. And so the thought was that, well, you got to move that out of the way so that he can learn to read and learn to interact and all that. Well, that's fine, except if it's not working and the only thing that is working is diving into that passion, then that's what you have to do.
Sure.
So initially there was resistance. We, you know, as I say, you know, people like Alan Rosenblatt, you know, was always like totally open to what parents were presenting him with, because he knew that they knew better than he did.
Exactly.
And also we had found an amazing therapist who really employed what we sort of called Disney therapy with Owen, and it was amazingly successful.
Don't want to give too much away. Again, Life Animated is the name of the documentary. And if you're around tonight, Cornelius Erskine is in Chicago. The opening night is tonight, part of the JCC Chicago Jewish Film Festival. The festival runs March 9th tonight through the 19th. 25 films, 7 cities and suburban venues. But tonight is the night you get to see Life Animated, correct?
Correct. At 4 and at 7 at the Renaissance Theater in Highland Park. And I would love to meet anyone who'd like to come.
They're having a child with autism, I can only imagine, is very difficult. When you mentioned communication with your child is key, I mean, when you can't hear or know why your baby is crying, you get worried and you think, well, someday they'll be able to tell me what's bothering them. But it's not that easy when you can't communicate with them.
Right.
And not to give too much away, but do you want to explain a little bit more about the movie?
Sure.
In the way in which Owen built on communication?
There's a huge breakthrough.
Yeah.
Are you okay with revealing that?
Sure, absolutely. Okay.
Let's do
absolutely.
This. Can we take it? We'll take a quick break.
Yep.
And then a fascinating story that becomes even more fascinating, believe it or not. Stick around. That's coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Cornelius Erskine. She and her husband Ron have put together an amazing documentary called Life Animated, which you can see tonight. It's part of the JCC Chicago Jewish Film Festival. We'll give you all the information, but again, the website is jccfilmfest.org. 2 showings later on, a 4 o'clock and a 7 o'clock, correct?
Correct. Right.
Their son Owen, who has autism, was able to make an amazing change of life. He was a fan of Disney films, could only communicate through Disney films. And then something, I want to say miraculous, but I don't think that sells it. Whatever is above miraculous happened.
Well, it was miraculous, but it was a long time coming.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, I always hesitate to have people think that we had some, you know, quote unquote cure or overnight success. It wasn't that at all. There were just moments along the road that provided us with insight that was so valuable. And on Walter, Owen has an older brother, Walter, who's an amazing guy, amazing sibling. And Walter turned 9 and got a little teary after all his friends left the party and the party was over. And Owen walked into the kitchen and said, Walter doesn't want to grow up like Mowgli or Peter Pan. And at this point, he was pretty barely verbal. And Ron and I were just blown away.
Yeah.
And that really gave us the insight into, you know, maybe we can really use his passion to get in there and to help him with all kinds of communication.
So more movies came.
More movies were watched.
And more conversation.
More conversation. And again, you know, bit by bit by bit. And, you know, people in the film, in the documentary, which was just an extraordinary product done by Roger Ross Williams and Julie Goldman, at one point, Ron says Owen learned, or Owen says, I learned how to read by reading credits. And it's true that he did, but of course he had all kinds of special ed and reading help. But what it gave him and what the films gave him was the motivation.
Yeah.
And kids on the spectrum are only motivated by their own interests. They are not motivated by what other people want or think. Or the regular benchmarks that we all try and hit the bell on.
Yeah.
It has to come from within, and his incredible motivation to understand these films, the people who made them, is what spurred his development in reading.
Where does Gilbert Gottfried come in?
Oh, Gilbert. So Owen loved, and still, he would tell you it's his number one favorite film, is Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
And the two characters that Owen always loved, the sidekicks. He always saw himself as a sidekick, and he loved the sidekicks. He thought they were the forgotten. They were the ones who helped the hero fulfill their destiny, and without them, where would they be? So Owen loved the sidekicks. A very long story. Let me think. We took Owen to see Mary Poppins on Broadway for his 19th birthday. One of the actors was the voice of Jafar in Aladdin.
Oh.
And Gilbert Gottfried is, as many people know, the voice of Iago, the evil sidekick to Jafar, the evil villain. So we met the gentleman, Jonathan Freeman, who's an extraordinary actor who voiced
Jafar.
Jafar, thank you. And then we got in touch with Gilbert Gottfried. And Gilbert came to Owen's school, Riverview School on the Cape, and surprised him at Disney Club. And the rest is history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So for Owen to then meet Gilbert Gottfried, who he knew in voice form, but there he is in human form, what happened there?
It literally is like Elvis walking into the room. You know, George Clooney could walk in. Owen wouldn't pay him one bit of attention, nor would he care. But the voice, even if Gilbert were not well known, I mean, Jonathan is a Broadway actor, a great Broadway actor, but his name is not really well known. Owen worships Jonathan. I mean, Owen knows every voice actor who has ever done any voice, including starting with Snow White in 1939.
Wow.
And I'm not kidding. Wow. And these people have been dead for 30 years. So Gilbert, to him, I think he's aware that Gilbert's a comedian, but really that is not at all his interest. His interest is in the Iago character.
And, you know, it's got to be amazing to find that one thing that your child can connect to. And you wonder if kids on the autism spectrum, like if there's some breakthrough, there's one thing that might catapult them into verbal actions.
And you know, it's not even, you know, necessarily, because there are many people on the spectrum who are nonverbal. But it's tapping into your child's joy, which any parent wants to do, but a parent of a child on the spectrum really, really wants to do.
Yeah.
And following their passion, whether it's Disney or train schedules or Thomas the Tank Engine or whatever it is, because we find that kids on the spectrum have these affinities that are very deep, and they know everything there is to know about their passion. And for so long, people said, you know, cut it off, it's perseverative. But it really is their pathway and not a prison. And if you can sort of get in there with them, it's a very beautiful thing.
Let's talk about Owen today. He's celebrating a birthday very, very soon.
He is. He's turning 26 tomorrow. He's very excited about his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have the party because they have the Special Olympics basketball tournament in the state of Massachusetts. But St. Patrick's Day will be the party if anyone wants to come. More than welcome. And he's doing great.
Is he good?
He's growing into a beautiful man. He has 3 part-time jobs, and he does his own cooking and laundry and lives in a condo on his own in a wonderful community on the Cape. And he has a wonderful life.
Still an affinity for Disney films?
Still a big fan.
Good.
Still a big fan. In fact, Monday, he's been invited to New York to the opening of the Beauty and the Beast, the new Beauty and the Beast film that his great friend Don Hahn has produced.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, yeah, still very much into it.
You must be, I can't even think of a word, that is amazed and delighted that he's made such wonderful progress. Think back 10, 15 years ago, did you see this day coming?
And, you know, when I meet young parents, parents who have young children who may just have been diagnosed, and they're feeling, you know, the obvious despair that you would, and I did, I always say to them, in a million years, I would never have imagined that we would be where we are right now. And that just goes to say that you just keep at it and you never know. You never know. Owen has a long way to go. He's, you know, he's got a lot of challenges. He needs help with things. Ron and I are still not sure what will happen when we're not here. But he's come a long way, and just having faith in that possibility has made all the difference.
It's a remarkable story.
What a story. You can see it for yourself tonight, two showings, a 4 o'clock and a 7 o'clock. It's part of the JCC, Chicago Jewish Film Festival. It's Life Animated, nominated for an Academy Award. It didn't win, and they didn't do that switcheroo thing like they do with the Academy Awards. Where
we're looking into that.
You should look into it. You should. Go to jccfilmfest.org. Visit the website, lifeanimateddoc.com. All the information is there. Cornelia Susskind is her name. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you
what a
so
great story.
Much for having me.
Absolutely.
And happy birthday, Owen.
Yep.
Thanks.
A quick break, some news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Don't forget, some changes to the show taking place as of Monday. This time slot that you and I have occupied for a while will be our old friend John Williams is coming back from Minnesota. He will be on.
Friend, really? He's taking our shift.
I said it in italics. Could you tell the way I said it?
And we're kidding.
He's our friend.
He is our friend. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of excited to get out of here a little earlier. There, I said it.
I'm
is that bad?
I'm going to stay late because part of my deal is I have to vacuum after the new show, after John's done.
You need a new agent.
I do, don't I?
He eats salted peanuts, too.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's going to be
himself. It's difficult.
A mess. A mess. So Wendy and I will continue to entertain you.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. From 10 till noon. Then you got your option. You can listen to Steve Bertrand's Business Lunch. And
that's
why wouldn't
I would
you?
Do.
I would do that. But Wendy and I will be doing a secret hour that no one's supposed to know about, and that's on the stream.
And I'll be listening to
Steve will listen to us. And
actually,
we'll
no,
out.
I won't. I'll be.
Well, you could listen to the podcast, of course,
yes.
And hear what you missed, because I'll listen to the podcast of the Wintrust Business Lunch, not really.
Thank yeah. you. Thank you very much.
He didn't hear that last part.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh.
I accentuate the positive.
I yeah. just don't like to, you know, go head-to-head with Bertrand. That's
no one
what
does.
I don't like.
Nobody does. Other stations during the Wintrust Business Lunch shut down their signal. They don't even broadcast anymore because
well,
they
think
know
that's,
better.
That's for maintenance. Isn't
yeah,
it?
They say right. it's for maintenance, but right. we know better.
So a few things I would like to discuss with the listening audience right here and right now.
All right.
So starting, we have tomorrow is our last day in this time slot, 1 to 3, correct?
Correct.
And then starting Monday, we're going to do 10 to noon. And then immediately at noon during Kim Gordon or Ryan Burroughs' noon news,
mm-hmm.
we are going to get on the elevator and go upstairs.
They've built a special express elevator for us.
A pneumatic tube.
Not.
Right. It's a pneumatic elevator. They said, don't wear anything too loose fitting.
You're going to have
what they
to hug
us.
Each other and fit into a cylinder together.
Yep.
And then we're not doing that show.
Up you go.
Yep. It will suck, much like the show. So that starts on Monday.
It sucks up, though.
Right. That's the difference.
All right. I think it's going to be fun.
It will be fun.
I mean, here's the thing. You can't get into your car and just punch up a button and boom, there we are. Because
right.
Bertrand will be there.
Right.
But you can do it through the app. It's simple. It just look for WGN Plus. Google that. It'll tell you where to get there on the app, on your computer at WGNradio.com. And then you can listen to us, and I think we should get to know the audience a little on Monday. And,
I think you're right.
And hear who's listening.
I think that would help everybody.
What are the names of the six people that figured out how to get to us?
Right.
But now there's going to be a new number.
Oh, I didn't know that. This is going to be awful.
Stop it! I just, Kevin, do we give out the number now? Are we for sure this is the number?
Yes, I'm told that this is the correct number.
Why do I get the feeling that we're just all, including management, figuring this out as it goes along?
Oh, there's an element of that. There's part of that. Yeah, that's all right. All right, Kevin, give out the number. That way, if it's the wrong number, we can blame you.
Don't blame him on his birthday. Although, since it's his birthday, they won't get he won't be in trouble.
Oh, all right.
I wouldn't. Yeah. Anyway, let's. So the number I have is 312.
What if it's not the number?
312.
It's like going to somebody's voicemail.
Yeah. Can I
call the number?
Can we
see
call it right now?
Maybe we're already doing a show there and we don't even know it.
Can you?
It's probably just going to ring if there's. I mean,
well, I want to hear it. Okay. How do I make a phone call? God, I got to figure all this out.
There's a lot going on.
All right, if I go like this and then I hit 9.
No, you don't have to hit the 9.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's to dial out.
I am dialing out.
But not on those phones.
Oh, man. This is going to be.
Oh, I'm tuning in for the podcast.
Yeah. What if Mike McConnell answers? Wouldn't that be crazy? Whoa. That would be nuts.
Mike, we've been looking for you.
God, I hope he answers.
That would be so funny.
All right, I just dialed. It's not going through.
Oh, it's busy. Other people are calling.
You dialed about 15 digits there. We heard you.
No, I dialed. I'm looking at it right now. I dialed correctly.
That's a good sign.
Well,
they have it blocked now.
No, to save money, they don't have call waiting. It's just one line. So if somebody else is calling, you're going to get a busy signal.
All right, we'll give the number out, I guess. Because you're not going to... God, that would have been so funny if Mike McConnell answered.
Well, you don't want to give the number out Monday when you're already
right,
there.
That's right, so we got to do it today and tomorrow, right?
Right.
So I have 312.
Yeah.
235.
Oh.
Steve's talking over it so people don't know it. Start over, Kevin.
312.
Yeah.
235.
Yeah.
2525.
All right. That's easy.
Yeah.
312-235-2525.
Call collect.
Now
we're the only radio station.
They're going to take it out of our paycheck that we're already getting an hour back.
I guess. All right. Don't call collect. Do not call collect. That would be mean.
All right. And you said we were going to give away some Payback as a Wendy t-shirts yesterday, and we never
did.
We
forgot to do it. Can we do some today?
Do you want to do it now?
Yeah. These are collector's items, folks. Even if you don't want to wear it yourself, you could turn around and sell this on eBay for 10 times what they would cost you. Give us a call right now. Should I give the new number or the old number?
the old. Oh, my God. It's busy on the new number.
It is busy on the new number. 312-981-7200. Call right now. Wendy, pick two numbers, whatever two numbers make you happy.
7 and 11.
7 and 11. Call those numbers right now. Be caller 7 and 11 at 312-981-7200. Win a Payback as a Wendy shirt. All the kids are wearing them. It's the hottest fashion craze anywhere in the country right now. You'll get one just for being caller 7 or 11. And then I have to tell you something that I have not told you before.
Uh-oh.
And that's coming up.
I don't like surprises.
This is a little bit of a surprise.
I think we should get new t-shirts that say, Bill and Wendy suck up.
All right.
Something. That doesn't sound right, though.
That does not sound right.
Listen to the upsuck with Bill and Wendy.
That sounds better.
I like that, too.
That sounds much better, Steve. Thank
you. Where's Hochberg when you need to finance a t-shirt, for God's sake?
Long gone. Long gone. All right. We'll tell you who won the t-shirts, and then I have something that needs to be said. That's coming up in just a little bit. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Did we give away our Payback as a Wendy t-shirt?
Yes. Two listeners, very fortunate, both of them, Anna and Ron, will be modeling the Wendy Snyder t-shirt from our show, the Payback as a Wendy shirt.
I really don't know why anyone would want these.
People love them.
You can learn how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. Kevin, what is this music? I enjoy it.
Cake.
Oh, I like cake.
Mm-hmm.
Birthday cake.
Yep. That's in honor of Kevin's 30th birthday. Happy mm-hmm. birthday, Kevin.
Thanks.
We have a bunch of texts from people with concerns about this move, this change of schedule. And then as I mentioned, I have something that I need to say. So let's take some of the texts and then I will say something.
Someone says, I'm confused. What's the number?
The new number or the old number?
I think we've confused
the
everyone.
Old number is still 312-981-7200.
You guys can't even, you don't even know the number without looking at it currently.
I don't. Do you, Wendy? I have
no,
to look
she
at
doesn't
it.
Either.
I know nothing. It. I know nothing.
So the new number should be easy for us because we've worked here for years and both of us still have to look at the card that shows the old number. The new number is 312-235-2525. Again, 312-235-2525. So call us tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Call us on Monday.
Starting Monday. But
starting
write that
Monday.
Number down because we want to give the number out now before we get on the new number because then we won't be able to give it out to the six people listening.
Yeah.
815 says, I wish you better success than Johnny B. and Gary Meyer.
Oh.
And that other clown from Cincinnati.
Well, that's Mike McConnell.
That's a clown.
But to be honest, Cap'n Haw also did a show on the stream, and Kathy and Judy and many others. And
where are
no
they
one
now?
Has seen any of them. I don't know where any of them are.
There's an app? Yes, there's a WGN radio app. Get it. It's fun.
Yeah, it is a fun app. Some apps are more funner than others, and that's one of the more funner ones. So please.
How do we decide who to listen to? That's up to you.
Yeah.
Not you, Bill.
No,
but you,
it's up
the
to
listener.
The listener. Yeah.
Because Steve Bertrand will be on these very airwaves, 7:20 a.m., doing the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we will be on the stream.
Yeah. And I'm told Steve will be speaking and dressing more provocatively starting next week. So leave
trying
him
to
up.
Win the people over.
I think that's what he's doing. Yep. Pretty sure that's his goal.
I'll take my shirt off.
Will you do that? It's the stream. You can do it.
Do you know we jokingly said we could swear? Now, first of all, I swear a lot in real life.
Yes, a lot.
For 30 years, when I have something looking like a microphone in front of me,
yes.
I do not swear.
Right.
I don't know why, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that some people upstairs were worried we really were going to swear.
Management was very concerned that we would be swearing a lot. And I don't know that we'll swear at all,
no.
But the option is certainly open.
I'm not going to swear, although I have to tell you, right there, I just wanted to say, I'm not going to...
Go ahead, do that.
No, but I have a delay button.
All right.
We have a delay button up there, too, I understand.
A 1 minute? Now, on regular radio, you get a 7-second delay. On stream radio, for reasons I can't understand, you get a 1 minute delay.
They might be ranting.
It's possible. It's
think
very
of
possible.
It this way. If we do a minute of bad material, we could just dump it.
Edit it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That could happen.
That could never happen.
I don't think so.
I texted your new number. It said it's a landline, and I will be charged 25 cents for every text to landlines.
I don't think you can
out.
Text on the new number. I think it's only for phone calls. You can, according to what I know so far, is you can either call us starting Monday, or we will also have a drive-up window. I don't think any other station has that, but they're installing a drive-up window for us.
Bill and Wendy, so sad for your loss.
Oh, it's, no, it's
I mean,
not. It don't.
We're just
it's
losing
not.
An hour,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
We're still going to be on 3 hours.
Yeah.
Hey, going back to the number and the texting and all that, there's always people can tweet at us and Facebook. We're always going to be checking that all day, too. So there's
Tinder.
Other means. There's Tinder.
I'm not on Tinder, you whore.
What?
Wendy, that on Monday, that's acceptable, but not right
now.
That is not.
Bill and Wendy, so sad for your loss. Very happy King John is back.
Oh, well.
It's okay. I will miss you guys on my drive home.
Stop by. You can come by.
Get the WGN app.
Yep. It's easy.
Bill and Wendy, I just tried to call the new number. Do I win a prize for being the first caller to get a busy signal?
Hmm.
I think I was the first.
You were
one.
The first, but they were the first caller. Right.
What's that number again?
It is 312-235-2525. Bertrand, that's not cool.
That's
I just
not professional.
I want to write it down so I have it. 25.
What about the number for when we're actually on the air also? What about that number?
I'm not going to say it. Bertrand will talk over it just to sabotage us.
I'm done. Okay.
Three.
Matt, what's going on? It's crazy town. Welcome
hey,
to it.
Yeah, no. Couple quick things. Number one, I just want to make sure that the new number is 312-981-7200.
No,
that's the
old
current number.
That's the old number.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Kidding.
Right. We both were in a tizzy right there.
No, guys, I just want I want to say thank you for giving me that fourth hour for as long as you guys have. I discovered WGN about a little over a year ago at this point. And you guys have been cracking me up. So I'm going to miss you on my third hour. and I cannot believe that you managed to get the composer of Star Wars to come in to 2 hours.
My husband, Jimmy Mack, has connections. That's what it is.
Isn't he a great composer, Matt? I mean, he's going to talk music theory every day for 2 hours. People will love it.
I want to talk Indiana Jones and Nixon and everything. Anyway, thanks, guys. I'll miss you. I'm gonna love you.
Well, thank you, Matt.
All right, but will you listen 10 to noon? Oh, he's gone. He's not even. He's done.
He's done. He's listened to his last.
Finished listening.
That's it.
I'm gonna listen to myself on their show, and then I am out. Phone drop.
He did that. We have news. I've still not told you the thing that I need to say.
Can you wait?
So, yeah, I can wait till after the news.
Okay.
If it's not in the, it may be in the news. I don't know. It may be, but we'll see. If it isn't, I will tell you on my own.
Should I be worried?
Worried's a hard word. I don't know. The new number, 312-235-2525. Don't call now. All lines are busy. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Steve Bertrand. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. It's our last Thursday with you. In the afternoons, we'll still be doing mornings.
Thursdays with Billy.
Hope, yes. All right, so I have not told you this yet, but I will tell you this now. Tomorrow at this time, at about 2:35 roughly, I have a special announcement that I have to make.
All right, first of all, I hate when you do this stuff.
Why?
Wait, so you build this as something you were to tell her that you hadn't told her before? And
yeah.
The announcement was that you're going to announce it tomorrow?
Yeah, here's why. Wendy is not good with surprises, so I'm giving you 24 hours to worry and think about it.
That's worse, I think, right,
okay,
Wendy?
Okay, can I just tell you, you are a mean, mean fighting machine.
Mean dancing machine.
No, you don't dance. You really don't.
The word dance is so vague.
You don't move your feet.
All right.
Steve, you know he knows that I have anticipatory anxiety. So you're just doing that on purpose. So it's not working.
If
I don't
that
care
was
what you
true,
have to say.
I would have done this a month ago. I would have said on March the 10th, I have something important that I need to tell everybody. I would have given you a month, but I know that you don't like surprises. So out of care, I'm giving you, you know, just a day to go, oh, it could be good news, it could
I don't
be
care
bad news.
What it is,
so
quite
she should
honestly.
Be thanking you, really.
Yeah.
That's, sure,
I will,
thanks.
I will accept your thanks. All so right. Tomorrow at roughly 2:35, something that could be devastatingly bad, Wendy, but it might not be. Could be...
How big is it, Bill?
That is a personal question. Go ahead, Nick
DiGilio.
We
are not on
you
the stream yet.
That.
On the stream, that kind of thing, you could say that all day long, but this is terrestrial radio, not extraterrestrial radio.
Is that what we're going to be doing, extraterrestrial radio? That's what we should call it.
They want. That's not a bad idea. That's a very good idea.
Kevin, write that down. The extraterrestrial hour.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right, so I just wanted to say...
I'm not looking forward to that.
In a day, I will tell you what I need to tell you.
Don't care.
It's coming up in a day.
I'm not going to be... I have to leave early tomorrow, Kevin.
So it's a need
I won't be here for his announcement.
You need to tell us?
It's not you, I don't think. Is he involved? Are the listeners involved?
I think it affects everybody. I think it affects... To different degrees, I think it affects everybody in the listening audience, and you, certainly you, Steve. Kevin, to some extent. Wendy, a lot to you. So, tomorrow. All right. The other thing that I wanted to discuss with you is
you
this.
You are so weird. Really. Keep
now,
it up. I
now,
like it.
What if the thing tomorrow that I have to tell you is that maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's affecting me. Maybe. Hint, hint. All right. All right. Did you, when you were a kid, Wendy, remember when you were a child, when you were a little girl?
Not really.
Did you have a Ouija board?
Yes. My parents would not let me play with it.
They got you one, but they refused
well,
to let you play with it.
I don't know how it came in the house.
Did you steal a Ouija board?
No, I didn't. Remember, I'm the youngest of a brother and sister, so they must have had it.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to play with the Ouija board, and they would not allow me to play with the Ouija board.
Oh.
And I said, well, then why don't we get rid of it? But people were scared to get rid of it.
Yeah. You don't want to throw out a Ouija board. Think about that. Think about all the angry spirits you would provoke.
I did it, but it didn't... I played it at my neighbor Jill's house. There, it's out in the open.
Yeah.
But it didn't really work.
Well, spoiler alert, it's fake. Boy, those geniuses over at Parker Brothers to create... I mean, really, I hate to say this, but the Ouija board is fake. It is. But how many millions and millions of Ouija boards have they sold over the years?
I can't wait to hear your announcement tomorrow because the Ouija spirits are going to come after you.
I'm not afraid of them.
Maybe you played it badly, Wendy. That explains the spirits coming out of your basement.
Yeah, it's a different house.
Totally different house? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was your childhood house.
Yeah.
Not your modern day house.
Spirits are non-transferable.
They can find you. Spirits will be able to find you.
I will give an update, if I may, that, you know, my floor was jackhammered, and I felt some weird uneasiness when I walked into my basement yesterday in the morning. But when I got home from work and it was patched and covered up with cement,
everything was all right.
I felt a calm. So I think maybe if there were bad spirits, they were released. And then they flew out the window because I didn't have any weird feeling and no weird things happened last night. And in fact, our family got along swimmingly for the first time in a long time.
Well, how did that happen?
We did game night and stuff.
That's excellent. That's good news.
So maybe I got the bad mojo out.
Yeah, I bet that's exactly what happened.
I'll give you an announcement about that tomorrow at this time. So after your announcement tomorrow,
you also have
an announcement tomorrow?
All right, Steve, do you have an announcement you'd like to make tomorrow?
Not yet, no.
Time slots are going fast.
Fridays are usually big for announcements, so.
All right. Here's what happened in Milwaukee.
Did you play with a Ouija board?
Yeah, and I have a horrible story to tell you. Do you want me to? Should
tell
I tell
me tomorrow.
You this? I can't do 2:35 because I already have I have an announcement that I'm making then. But I could do after or before if you want.
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe I'll tell you when Kevin Pollak is here. Kevin Pollak is here tomorrow, everybody, to celebrate our leaving. All right. What we did was we had a Ouija board, and I knew as a child that this was a sham. That for people that don't know what a Ouija board is, it's a board that has all the letters and all the numbers on it, and then you touch one side, and then somebody else.
What's that thing called?
The cursor?
Yeah.
It's the cursor.
That's before there was a cursor on a computer.
Right. The cursor is a plastic piece, kind of heart-shaped, and then there's a circle in the middle that's either glass or plastic. And then you put your hands on one side, the other guy or girl puts their hands on the other side, and then there's a third guy who goes, ooh, while you're moving it around, back and forth, back and forth.
But you're not supposed to move it. You're supposed to just rest your fingertips, and it kind of feels like it's moving.
Right. You're supposed to gently touch it, real gently. And then
you're not supposed to push it.
No, the spirits are supposed to move it. You ask it questions.
Will I work with a guy named Bill Leff?
Yeah, like that. And then it'll say, ask again later.
Unfortunately, no. Or yes. Darn it. Never mind.
Do it again. And then it'll say,
will you work with a guy named Bill Leff?
Yeah.
I don't care anymore.
Ask again later.
Oh, yeah.
That's an eight ball.
Yeah, you're confusing things.
I get confused. So, all right. So the way it's supposed to work, if everything in the universe was weird, is that the ghosts would move the Ouija board cursor around and it would answer your questions. But in reality, I hate to say it, it's you or the other person or both of you kind of answering it yourself.
And it spells out the answer. Like if you go, who were my real parents?
Right.
It would spell out the Bradys.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Right. All right. So we had one. And my mom was real reluctant. It's the weirdest thing because she bought it for us. She bought it for my brother and I, but she's like, I don't know if you guys should be playing this, but here. And then we had a Ouija board. So one night, it was my cousin David was visiting us, and my mom was there, and it was late at night, and David said, oh, you guys have a Ouija board. Can we play with the Ouija board? So my mom's like, oh, I feel even weirder now because it's not even my own kid. It's a relative. But yeah.
They're going to talk bad about me if they know I let them play with the Ouija board.
My mom agreed to it under one condition, that she be able to be there with us while we played the Ouija board. It was late at night. It was like 10:30 at night in the summer. So we're asking it stuff, and nothing's happening because David's not moving it, and I'm not moving it. We just have our hands on it.
The spirits weren't moving it?
Nobody was moving it. We did this for like 20 minutes. We're just asking it questions, and nothing's happening. So then my mom said, let's conjure up the ghost of my mom. That's my grandmother. I never met my grandmother. She died before I was born. So we're like, oh, yeah, that'd be great, because if grandma were here, she'll move the board. That'll work. I guess you have to ask for a specific spirit.
Yeah.
You can't just throw it out there into the spirit universe. You have to, like, if you're calling somebody, you go, hey, can I put my grandmother on? And then they put her on, and she moves the board, right? So my mom says, all right, so my grandmother's there, and we're asking her questions, and it's just yes or no silly stuff. And then we're all, you know, my mom knows it's fake, right? My mom goes, let's ask my mom a question that neither of you would know the answer to. She goes, Mom, what was my nickname for you when I was a little girl? So my mom doesn't know this, but I remember when I was a little kid, my mom told me the answer to this. It's my little mommy. That's what my mom used to call my grandmother because she was only 3'11".
So, you have lost me.
So
my little mommy was her nickname?
Yeah, she called her my little mommy. I don't know. I wasn't even around then. I can't judge. These were during the war years, Wendy. People they had to conserve height because of the war efforts.
It's a terrible nickname.
I didn't say it was a good nickname. It's an awful nickname. Because I've seen pictures of her. She wasn't a little, like, when you thought that, you go, oh, I bet it was a really small, diminutive woman. No, just the opposite. She was a very large woman, but my mom called her my little mommy. So she goes, what was my nickname for you when we were little? And David doesn't move it, and I don't move it, because I'm thinking, and I give it some time, and then we move it. M-Y-L-I. We spell out my little mommy. My mom is scared out of her mind because she doesn't know that she had told me that years earlier. She's convinced her mom is
talking
there in the room
to
with us.
Yes,
right?
Talking to you, yes.
So for days, I just forget about it. David forgets about it, but it's haunting my mom for days. And a week later, my mom and dad take me aside and they go, are you okay? And I go, yeah, I'm fine. Why? And they go, have you thought a lot about what happened that night with the Ouija board? No, why? And I see the fear in my mom's eyes and I just start to laugh. My mom goes, what? And I go, we moved it. And she goes, how did you know the answer to that? But she had told me when I was a little kid. I just remembered it. There's no reason to have remembered it. The only payoff that could ever happen would be the way it did happen. But I remembered it. But she was scared for a week. She didn't say anything.
There was something creepy about that, though.
Yeah.
The whole Ouija board, it's like everybody said, you know, it's not real. You just said it. But some of us thought maybe there was...
A lot of people did.
Well, because it was unique.
I guess... Well, I will explain to you when we return what happened to a teacher in Milwaukee who used a Ouija board, and it did not end well.
Was it my little teacher?
It doesn't say that, but yeah, I bet it was. All right, stick around. All that, and then I have a special announcement at 2:35 tomorrow, Wendy. So mark your date book. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, we're talking about Ouija boards. They're fake, by the way. Should I not say that? I know there's people that believe in them, but they're fake.
Well, you can say whatever you want. But by the way, it's not a cursor, even though you and I both called a cursor the thing that would move letter to letter on the Ouija board.
It's not a cursor?
It's a planchette.
No, that's Bob Newhart's wife from his sitcom.
No, that's Plushette.
Plushette.
Was it a dongle?
No.
No.
Robin, it's not a dongle.
A dongle has to be... It's...
Shouldn't have said that.
No, but it's now you got to explain what a dongle is.
Go on.
It's when you have like a wireless mouse or something that's connected to your computer.
Oh, right.
I thought that was the piece that plugged into the iPhone that we were talking about yesterday or 2 days.
That's a cord?
No, but then the piece that you...
Oh, yeah, there's a dongle.
The dongle, you dongle it in there?
People are going to miss this. I know they don't think they are, but they are.
Planchette is a small board supported on casters, typically heart-shaped and fitted with a vertical pencil, used for automatic writing and in seances.
Remind me, because it's been a while since I've used the fake Ouija board, but in the center you have a circle that looks like a monocle almost. It's either glass or plastic. Was there a pin sticking through that or not? For some reason in my head I seem to think there was a gold pin sticking through it. Do you remember? I don't know what the purpose of it would have been, just to make it more exotic kind of.
I don't know. It's supposed to have it to
help you figure out which letters and numbers it's going to.
Yeah. Because
it's all 26 letters and then 0 through 9. And then isn't there also a yes and a no in the corners? It is, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Wendy, you're showing me the board. And you're showing me one that says grit and glory on it. I wonder why does it say grit and glory? See up top?
That's a different one. That's probably a homemade one.
Oh, maybe. All right, so... The reason I asked you here is this. In Milwaukee, a kindergarten teacher has been placed on leave after she reportedly used a Ouija board in her classroom. Let me remind you, she is a kindergarten teacher, so she's teaching primarily 3- and 4-year-olds.
What, is she teaching the alphabet? Because that's a perfect thing to do.
No, the dark arts.
A, B.
Right. It seems unnatural, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Milwaukee Public Schools removed the unidentified teacher... I hope she knows who she is. That'd be awful. From her classroom Tuesday night after a parent complained about the incident of her using a Ouija board. That happened on Friday at the Zablocki Elementary School. The teacher used the board as a prop while telling a scary story. The complaining mother, who also has not been identified, told the station that her 5-year-old son has been having nightmares ever since then.
It's not because of the Ouija board. It's because of the scary story.
It is, right? But she
wasn't using the planchette. She was just putting the board up there to make it look eerie. Big deal.
He's scared now. This is the unidentified mother. He's scared now to go to bed at night, to be in the dark, and to do anything alone, she said.
I'm sure it's not because of that.
You don't think it is?
It's because of the scary story. It's not because of the Ouija board.
But I bet the scary story was about the Ouija board. Maybe that's how it ended. And then the Ouija board is here. You know, it probably ended like that. And here it is. Nah! And then the kids all screamed.
But that is not the age to use a Ouija board.
No, 5?
But even, like, generationally, like, these kids don't know what a Ouija board is. It's so long ago and far away.
Right. But they still sell them,
don't they?
Yeah, I think they still sell Ouija boards. I'm almost sure they do. The mother complained to the teacher, who explained how she used the Ouija board in an email. Here's what she said. The kids have been asking for a scary story. So she gave, you got to give the audience what they want. You know that. I got the board. I moved the paperclip to answer some of their questions. They asked about scary characters in movies. I did not say that there were any spirits. It was all done in fun. I understand your concern. It was silly, and I'm sorry. I will take the board home, and this won't happen again. And then she added, get out! Like that, really scary. All right, let's do this.
Why do we say Ouija when it's Ouija?
It is Ouija. Although somebody once, I heard somebody on another radio station once say Ouija, which I think
Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah, it was Rush Limbaugh. He said, no, somebody on another station once said, when using a Ouija board, and I couldn't stop laughing because I went, nobody says Ouija board.
Yeah, that's wrong.
That's not right.
But it's Ouija.
Ouija board. Nah. All right, we'll take a quick break.
See what you'll be missing between 1 and 3 every day?
Yep, every day. Every day.
Starting Monday.
Starting Monday. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.